If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
All right, let's pray. God of rock, thank you for this chance to kick ass. We are your humble servants. Please give us the power to blow people's minds with our high voltage rock. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Woo! Rock and roll!
In observance of Memorial Day, we will now honor the men and women who have served their country, protecting our freedom and our way of life, with a moment of silence. Thank you.
Why are you the way that you are? Honestly, every time I try to do something fun or exciting, you make it not that way. I hate so much about the things that you choose to be.
And now,
what exactly do you want?
Just something that doesn't suck.
Well, one of these days, maybe you'll come up with a little better plan than that.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Welcome back. It is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Back from vacation.
One of us is back from vacation.
Yes,
the rest of us have been here slogging away.
I know. What are you going to do? I got to go to Las Vegas. Got to go to the Frozen Fury Kings. First game.
Wow. How was that?
Finally, hockey's back.
We're in Vegas this weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah, so was I.
You were?
Yeah, we should have got together.
What were you doing?
I was for a wedding. Wedding on Friday. And then me and some buddies who were also there for the wedding just did major damage to ourselves for the rest of the weekend.
I did as well. Did you have the wedding at the Spearmint Rhino?
No.
Because I'm surprised. I would have seen you.
Oddly enough. If we had been there, you would have seen us?
Yeah.
No, this couple, second wedding for both parties, so it wasn't a big deal. But they were at the Venetian. You get married at the bridge over the canals at the Venetian Hotel in Vegas. Kidding.
So they didn't do the Elvis Chapel or whatever. Not that small.
It was small, but it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't a hit and run. It was kind of planned. So we all met up there Friday, and then the afternoon reception was kind of low key, and then unleash the hounds for the next 3 days. So yeah.
So you.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good
Vegas
show
this weekend.
It's gonna be a good show.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't even know why I bothered to come in.
There was a lot of drinking. Apparently, there was a lot of drunk texting between me and my friend Kurt, who was there.
Apparently, because you don't remember.
He said I texted him the word. He said it was 3:30 on Friday morning, Friday night, Saturday morning. I just texted him the word rhino. Because
that's self-explanatory.
You don't need to say anything else,
no, really.
He's like, I was so upset you went there without me, and I couldn't believe it. And I don't know. I got in about 5, and then you know when the sun starts coming up, that's the worst.
I don't know how you do it. I can't do that anymore. I can't get to the next day.
That was brutal.
This job has just ruined me with our sleep schedules. I hit a wall around 3 o'clock in the morning, and I just cannot get past.
I do too, but the way to get past that is to drink more.
Just keep. I couldn't have. That would have been physically impossible to drink any more than I had.
My friends brought in. We went to the hockey game on Saturday nights at the MGM Grand, that big arena there where they hold boxing matches and stuff. And we went to the hockey game, and he had a Diet Pepsi in his hand. I was like, "All right, bring in a Diet Pepsi." I didn't think they'd let you, but fine. Whiskey, straight whiskey.
Genius.
And one of those pretty big giant.
Genius.
Straight whiskey.
Straight whiskey.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm not a straight whiskey guy. I'm not man enough for that.
Any port in a storm, right?
I did partake some of that, yeah. So we were going one place in the arena where they said, you have to leave your alcohol out here. And I said, but Diet Pepsi's cool, right? And he goes, yeah, of course. So we just brought it with us. it was fun. And I need a week off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do hear you.
After a weekend like that, you just need a week off.
All right.
We're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067. It's Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, nephew?
And if you call in today for What It Do, Nephew, you get a pair of tickets to the special screening of Together, the Hendrix Motorsports Story.
Motorsports.
I'm back and I'm strong. Stop moving it.
They did a great job. Remember the time Hendrix Motorsports played the national anthem on the electric guitar and they set it on fire?
Oh, yes.
Oh, different Hendrix? Oh, I'm sorry.
This one's still alive?
This one's on Mad Men. She's redhead. She's
I don't think
that's Christina Hendricks. I think it's a different one. Nice reach, though.
This is on October 7th at the Roosevelt Hotel in Hollywood. You get a pair of tickets to see the Pepsi 500 at the Auto Club Speedway on Sunday, October 11th, which seems like a lot for some of these calls.
Phone call. Yeah.
If I could be honest.
I don't know if you caught it over the weekend, Kevin, and I know you weren't here when we had him in, but we had Vitali Klitschko, heavyweight champion of the world.
That's when the hockey game was.
And so the fight was on this weekend. Yeah. I was glad to see that the Kevin and Bean curse has ended because, boy, did he put on a class.
I heard the other guy quit.
Well, they wouldn't let him come out.
Oh, they wouldn't let
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
I heard he said, I can't
no,
think
no, he wanted to come out. But his corner and The ref, or I guess it was the 10th round or something, said, you know what, it's best if you just stay on that stool because you're getting the snot beat out of you.
That's strong.
Was a bloody mess. And I'll see if I can find the clip for later in the show. But he was, Klitschko was like, he's a great opponent and there was a great fight. And the other guy, Chris Areola, who's an LA boy, by the way, like, he's a tough mother effer, and this effing, I got effed up, and F, boop, boop. And it was HBO, so it just went out of the place. And then he started crying.
Oh, really?
Wait, the fighter did?
Yes.
The fighter started crying.
Like, there's no crying in boxing.
Of all sports.
Of all sports.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I just let everybody down.
Wow, I'm glad Klitschko kicks his ass then.
Well, they let you down, Mike, right? He let you and your people down.
Yeah.
It's pretty sad.
Yeah, they were touting him as the potential of the first heavyweight Mexican fighter champion in history.
And the first one named Areola.
That's right. One first one named after a nipple.
Right.
Yeah. It's a day of mourning for all Mexicans.
That's what I figured.
Wow, that hurts. That's not what you want.
No.
That's not what you want first thing in the morning. All right, let's begin. Whoa, lines are changing. Let's begin with Jeff.
All right.
Jeff.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
How you doing, baby boo?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So it was out Friday night, and we're out rolling around. We don't know where to go. And we stumble into the Hustler Club in Westminster.
Right.
And who do we find on the center stage? Bridget the Midget.
Yeah.
Well, you're in a fine quality establishment when that happens.
She was...
Hey, let me tell you, she was better than most of the B-squads at most places. So I don't know. She wasn't so bad.
I think she...
Maybe it was the 3 hours of drinking before that, but she wasn't so bad.
It would have been the 3 hours of drinking, I think she's pretty cool. We run into her a couple times in Vegas.
She's charming.
And she humped my leg one time, and I didn't know what to do at that point. She was
you gotta like hit her with a rolled-up newspaper.
I'm just bummed we didn't find out earlier.
Yeah. But she strips?
It was pretty all right. She's
no,
topless.
It wasn't.
She's topless.
Stop it. She's a topless midget.
Train wreck. Don't, come on. You listen to this show. You've made this show for years. Everybody's in for a train wreck.
Right. We love the train wreck. But I was asking if she stripped and it was hot. And the answer to
I
that
love
is,
train wrecks up until including naked women. Then I got to avoid train wrecks. That's where I draw the line.
Three hours of drinking.
Unless they're bad enough. Three hours of drinking will make anything look good.
I think that's what you say.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
All right.
That's not really what you want, but.
Good morning.
Gigi, good morning.
Good morning.
What'd it do?
Oh, my gosh. So my best friend is pissed off at me because I have decided to befriend her girlfriend. So, like, me and my best friend, we've been friends for almost a year. The whole time she's complaining about the girlfriend. I'm like, God, this girl's a bitch. And so, anyways, I decided to get to know her, you know. It's like, well, if I'm going to be friends with this girl and she continues to want to give her a second chance, you know. Oh, no, it's going to be different this time. You know, I'm going to take her back. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, what's up? So, you know, get to know the girlfriend and take her out to dinner last night. And you know what? So is best friend going to be pissed? Yeah, she's pissed. Because she thinks I'm stealing her whole secrets to the girlfriend.
Yeah.
So what are you going to
do? I'm not following this. Is anyone following this?
Are you a lesbian?
Yes.
Are you interested in your best friend's girlfriend?
No.
Oh.
I'm just trying to be friends. And now this is the friend's. The girlfriend is trying to be friends with me, talking to me about my best friend.
Uh-huh.
And now my best friend is pissed.
Right.
Right. Understandably, because you're her friend.
What do? I'm trying to be friends with both.
Okay. Why? Why aren't you just a dedicated, loyal best friend to your best friend and let the relationship be that outside of your friendship?
Okay, where were you yesterday before this all happened?
Well, it's not brain surgery.
That's pretty easy to figure out because if the friend is really the friend, you don't befriend their enemy.
Well,
Bros before hoes, or hoes before hoes in your case.
Right. So stop trying to have the relationship with the friend's enemy.
Girlfriend. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
But she keeps giving her a second chance. I'm
well,
like,
that's
why?
Well, that's on
but
her. That's her relationship with her. That's not your business. Be a friend.
Yeah.
Okay.
I really
messed
up.
Yes, you did.
You're messed up.
And yeah. I sense we're not making any progress in this call.
No.
Yet. Nothing's going the way we had hoped
it would
go.
I need a drink already.
Let's go to Marshall. Hi, Marshall.
What it do, Lisa May.
Hi, Marshall.
So you guys see Dexter last night?
Oh, I T-boned yet. I haven't seen it.
Me too. I wasn't home.
Oh.
Dexter
season premiere, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You guys need to get home right now.
All right.
Crappy show.
All right, we got to go.
Don't just, tell them that. Yeah. They'll leave.
Just dump it and run right home and watch it.
It was great.
Is it going?
It was that good.
Yeah, I can't wait. Did they introduce John Lithgow last night?
His yes, new character? They did. Oh. In spectacular fashion.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah. It just be ready for a bunch of, dude-ass, basically.
Oh, dude-ass. I don't know if I like dude-ass.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know how to sell
dude-ass,
it.
Dude-ass.
That's not what we want, but okay.
You'll enjoy it. Everybody.
All right.
All right.
Yes, we will, because that's a fantastic
dude-ass
show, and I have a lot of dude-ass.
We love Dexter.
We love dude-ass. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Let's.
Zombieland is a movie that looks awesome.
Saw it last
Someone
week.
Saw
yes,
it.
I saw it last
yep.
week. You will not be disappointed. It
really?
Is one of the best times I've had in a movie in a long, long time.
These movies that have to have a sense of humor, but also have to kind of run the, you know, kind of be scary a little
right.
with some cheese. That's a hard line to walk.
And this one walks it perfectly.
Oh,
it's scary
wait.
And funny and charming. I mean, it's got a lot going for it.
And who do we have on the show?
We've got the executive producers, but the guys, more importantly, who wrote the screenplay for the film, two guys named Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, who are longtime buddies of mine because they created the Joe Schmo Show back in the day. So they have parlayed their TV success. Now this is their first motion picture that they've written, and they've got a hit on their hands.
Is this going to be an ugly confrontation where you say, hey,
well,
how many zombies did you have?
There were a lot of roles in this film
right.
that I think I could have played one of them.
You couldn't have slapped a little makeup on me and just have me wander around?
I can do that. Right. I can do that. And yet my phone did not ring during the production of Zombieland.
That's not right.
So apparently, I'm good enough to star in their TV show, but not enough to good enough to play a dead guy in a movie.
You don't really have to do much when you're playing a dead
no,
guy.
No, you do not, sir.
We are going to talk about sober sex and how some people have never had it.
Mike!
Some people have never had sex sober.
That
right.
is shocking.
Interesting survey, I think it was in England, where they talked to women especially, and a large percentage of them said that they had never had sex without having at least a couple cocktails before getting into it.
Now, to me, this seems like it could be an age thing. If you're 20 and you're responding to this, well, maybe. But if you're 25, that's shaky. If you're 30, no way should this be happening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's I don't know. That just seems
ridiculous. I agree. I think you're younger, it makes some sense.
I would be interested to hear the stories from our listeners as we open up the phones.
Talk to TMZ.com. Find out all the celeb news that's going on. Get a recap of the soapbox race over the weekend.
Yeah!
The guys saying they got ripped.
We were robbed.
We got ripped off by the judges.
We got so ripped off.
And I
oranges,
texted,
sweaters.
I texted back to Dave. At what point were you guys expecting to win? I thought it was all about the wipeout.
It was supposed to be a gag, right?
Right.
Oh, look how funny we are. Summer of Death. Hee, hee, hee. We're in a coffin.
Well, it was until they actually did good.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, once we got down there and you saw how well constructed our car was and the pit and how much effort and everything went into it, you started to get really into it. I mean, you started to feel like you were in the Indianapolis 500. Everybody was really charged up.
Well, that's
they
on you. That's on you then. If you took it seriously, then that's on you.
I was playing poker when I got the text from Dave and I said, excuse me, I'm just going to have to set out a hand. And I walked over and I was texting back, what are you doing? What are you talking about winning and getting ripped off by the judges?
Oh, sweater, orange.
That's not what this is about.
All I have to say is, honestly, Dave is an uncanny Billy Mays. It was scary at times. I need to look back and see him.
Well, the energy level is roughly about the same.
Oh, I'm telling OxyClean.
We're going to talk to Entertainment Weekly's Michael Osiello, who's going to tell us all about the new TV season.
Ah, great.
Love that. It's difficult sometimes keeping track of every single show. Like, I think Californication was on again last night.
Yeah.
I mean, for the first
time. The first new show.
Yeah. So, I don't know if you saw the BBC expert who just wants cute animals to die. Just let them die. That
sure.
guy. Uh-huh.
He's tired of people working hard to save pandas, basically. Right. That's his problem.
Yeah, you know what? Just it might be best just to let him go.
It does seem like a lot of work. Those pandas don't seem to want to hump or have babies. Who are we to force them?
They are not good at it.
No, they're not.
That's true. That's how they came up with panda porn. That's I don't know right. if you remember that.
Yeah.
They were trying to get them. We have a great instant request, and we're going to give away some Apple iPods on today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Great.
And we will take a quick break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, and Ralph is here to take a look at the showbiz this weekend.
It's Monday
after
morning.
After this weekend.
Yeah, I know. I know what you meant.
Thank you.
I'll just, you know what? I'm you on your side.
You just got a big pass
If you get close, I will just pick up the ball and you. Run with it, okay? You just have to hand it off.
I may have had a few too many beverages.
You can be Brett Favre today. You just have to hand the ball. Nope. And we'll take care of the running game.
No expectations. All
although,
right.
see, Favre, last-minute heroics.
Come on with that.
The Vikings versus the San Francisco 49ers yesterday with about, what was it, 4 seconds left or something? Favre just
and they won it?
Unleashed a bomb, and the Vikings won the game.
How about that?
To Greg Lewis. So
that's not how you want to lose a game.
Good football weekend.
Last play.
Let's talk about the top 10 movies at the box office, as we do every Monday morning. This Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs is a monster hit. People love meatballs dropping from the sky. That's what we've always said.
Is it? Was it a popular book?
It's hugely popular kids book.
Okay.
Yeah, that has been turned into a hugely popular movie. It made over $30 million last weekend. This weekend, it made almost $30 million. Very little drop-off, and that's almost unheard of. Usually, a movie will drop off upwards towards 50% of its opening weekend box office, but this one is still hanging in there. $24.6 million made it number one over the weekend. Surrogates, the new Bruce Willis futuristic thriller, made $15 million in its debut weekend. Fame came in at number three with $10 million. Then The Informant, Tyler Perry's I Can Do Bad All By Myself. Pandorum, the new sci-fi thriller with Dennis Quaid, number six. Love Happens was seven. Jennifer's Body came in at number eight. Then nine was number nine.
Spooky. Wow. How does that happen?
And Inglourious Basterds rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of Jennifer's Body and Megan Fox, she was the host of Saturday Night Live as it made its season premiere this weekend. However, not all went well.
Uh-oh.
Here's the thing about doing a live show, and we can attest to this. Sometimes when you're doing a little comedy bit or you're excited about something, your language doesn't necessarily adhere to FCC regulations.
A little carried away.
You get a little carried
talk
away.
Talk like normal.
Yeah. There was a sketch going on Saturday Night Live this weekend featuring brand new cast member Jenny Slate, who was playing a biker chick in a sketch called Biker Chick Chat. It was like a talk show with biker chicks.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying, freaking this and freaking that and freaking that and freaking that. And then apparently one wasn't freaking. This went out live.
You know what? You stood up for yourself, and I'm lucky for that. You're in my heart, babe. You're in my heart.
It was like a chill in the room, you could see. And she was like, whoa.
Oops.
And she's a brand new cast member, too, on Saturday Night Live,
nice.
By the way.
Doesn't
so everyone talking about the F-bomb that was dropped during Saturday Night Live.
But doesn't every TV show now have like a 50-second delay?
Not Saturday Night Live, oddly enough.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's bizarre.
Until this week.
Yeah.
Now I'm sure that'll change.
Of course, it went out live on the Eastern feed around 12:40 a.m., so they're not expecting any really backlash from the FCC because of the safe harbor rules. But still. Everyone's talking about the fact that the F-bomb was dropped.
Did you guys deal with the fact that Jennifer's Body in that movie, that those scenes that we saw, those pictures of her coming out of the water, that kind of pretty much naked?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With just the flesh-colored cover?
Not in the movie.
No, they never used that footage.
Not at all?
No. She was in a lake. That's all you see. You don't see her getting out. You don't see the
picture. You're kidding.
Not in the movie. That's not acceptable.
Wow.
That's why I went.
Kevin's furious. It's going to be hell to pay.
That's right.
Congratulations to L.A. Laker Lamar Odom and his new wife, Khloe
really?
Kardashian.
You didn't even use quotes.
Yeah, well, they actually got married.
Yeah.
It was real.
Okay.
They were married last night in Beverly Hills, California. And what a bunch of guests. What a star-studded A-list event it was. Not only was Chelsea Handler there.
Oh, that's enough.
But Lara Spencer, Brittany Gastineau, Lala Vasquez.
Wow. Quality people.
They were all there.
All the A-listers.
All the A-listers, yeah. About 250 guests attended. Photos, the wedding photos, apparently have been sold to OK Magazine for $300 $1,000. No one was allowed to have their BlackBerries or their
For fear
cameras
of that.
In the wedding. Couldn't take any pictures of the wedding of the people that you went to go attend their wedding because they were too busy making a deal for selling the pictures. And, of course, by all accounts, the reason they rushed the wedding after just a month of dating was so that they could get it into the filming schedule of Courtney and Khloe take over Miami or whatever their reality show is so they could have it as the big sweeps episode for their reality show.
That's a good reason to move up a wedding.
So, look, a lot of money was made
at
the wedding between selling the pictures and selling the, you know, the filming it for the reality show.
Sure.
What the relationship is going to be like, one can only guess.
Did they have just a big candy cake?
Yeah, I hope so.
Just a pile
with
of
Lamar.
Candy.
Lamar candy.
I'm a preferred candy. Today's celebrity birthdays, Janine Garofalo. 45 years old today. Remember when she used to be funny?
Oh, I do.
Good times.
I do. And then she got bitter.
Seems so long ago now. Mira Sorvino's 42. Actress Naomi Watts turns 41 years old today. Rapper Young Jeezy.
What?
Yeah. Is 32. Bam Margera from Jackass is 30 years old. Bam, how are you going to celebrate your birthday? Do you have any plans?
I'm going to do the Mentos butt douche.
All right. Good times.
Yes,
and Hillary Duff and her giant chiclet teeth are 22 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. And from time to time, we get instant requests, which we always try to oblige if we can.
Yeah.
Dear Kevin and Bean, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is coming up, and the nominees were just announced. Kiss and the Red Hot Chili Peppers, both nominated. Could we please hear an instant request of a conversation between Gene Simmons of Kiss and Anthony Kiedis?
Oh, that should be interesting.
Of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Sincerely, me 30 seconds ago. So that's how we got to that. Let's do it.
Listen up, everyone.
New instant.
Make a request.
Instant request. Kevin and Bean.
Instant request.
I'll do you one better. We have Anthony Kiedis on the line. Hi, Anthony.
Hello. How are you?
We have John Frusciante on the line as well from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I'm eating Lucky Charms. Magically delicious.
And we have
Lucky Charms. Whack that lick a dang, California.
And we have Gene Simmons from Kiss.
That's right, you do.
On the line as well.
Wow.
And we are all my friends. How are you?
Gene Simmons, hi!
Mr. Frusciante.
Hi! I play music.
Yes, you do. And you do it quite well.
Thank you.
Quite well.
Bye-bye.
No, we're not done yet.
No.
We're not done. Now, part of the article is talking, from the AP article that I read, is talking about Gene, who would be upset if you lost. There are a lot of people who think you're too cartoonish to even be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. How do you answer that?
Well, frankly, I'm insulted. I understand that maybe musically, Kiss isn't the most cutting-edge band. We haven't really changed things. We're not the best songwriters, but you can't deny our impact on rock and roll as a whole.
That's
and
true.
I think that we deserve to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Lisa May, speaking of as a whole.
Oh, my God.
Thanks, but we're gonna have to pass on that.
He said whole.
Now, now, John, what?
Prashante.
He's talking about her private part.
Right. Now, John, what do you think of Kiss's music?
Blue Diamonds. I love Blue Diamonds.
You're eating
green clovers. Lucky Charms.
Oh, Lucky Charms.
What he is eating is cereal. And I'm imagining he's poured some milk over that.
Yeah.
He's
speaking of milk.
You cannot do that.
I have a special udder that I'd like you to milk.
Oh, dear God.
Now, manually.
Now, let me ask you a question of Anthony, if you don't mind. Anthony, have you figured out what your acceptance speech would be if you are allowed into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Actually, I have it with me right here. You want me to perform it for you?
Some of it, at least. Yeah, sure.
Oh, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Whack-a-dang-dong, dang-dang-a-dang-a-dang, Coca-Cola. Whack-a-dick-a-sang-a-bong-a-boom-ding. Sugar-book-a-lang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-dang-
damage. Lucky Charms.
Still eating those Lucky Charms, huh?
Yeah.
He's eating them up. It's a real mouthful for Mr. Vachon.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Speaking of a mouthful.
Okay. All right, we got to go. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's time to give away some iPods with a game we like to call The Eyes Have It. So okay. If you'd like to call right now, we've got three different iPods for you. 1-800-520-1067. That is the phone number if you want to get in on the game. What's going to happen is we're going to ask you questions, mm-hmm. and the answers are going to have I in them. Maybe it's the letter I. Maybe it's E-Y-E.
Oh, so it's the sound.
It's the sound,
it's the sound I.
So if you are thinking of an answer and there's no I in it, yeah, maybe don't guess it.
Okay.
Because that's
what seems like a good hint.
We're telling you up front that you get that. So here's what you get. You get two iPod Nanos, which are awesome. I just bought the new one, which you can take video with.
Really?
Not kidding. And you can listen to FM with. And you can pause it and rewind 15 minutes.
Oh, my God.
On the radio. Yeah, it's
that's awesome.
And it's the same size. If they were holding out on us all this time, this could do all of this all this time.
Bastards.
Come on, get with it. So you get the two iPod Nanos, and you get the one iPod Shuffle, and you get a $5 iTunes gift card.
So we're going to give away three iPods.
That's correct.
Awesome.
To each person. And we have three winners.
Wow.
That's how we roll.
Okay.
So the game is The Eyes Have It. I think we get the eye part. Okay. All right, so it's The Eyes Have It. I don't know if you got that from the theme.
I think I got that.
Mr. Announcer Man.
Good morning, Kevin and B.
How are you today?
I'm doing great.
Now, Mr. Announcer Man, are you an iPod guy? Do you have a bunch?
I have a bunch of iPods.
A bunch of iPods. Right.
None as cool as these with the video and the radio and the whatnot.
Well, there is that, sure. Yeah. And the Shuffle, by the way, is the size of a pinhead, if those of you that haven't seen that. But explain to the people the game and what the answers involve, Mr. Announcer Man.
We'll be asking general trivia questions. However, every answer has the sound I in it.
So if their answer doesn't have the sound I in it, what would they do?
Not give that answer.
Okay.
You think we're being ridiculous, but it's going
to
happen.
I can't wait always for happens. It to happen.
Who do we have first, Mr. Announcer Man?
First up is Pedro. He works for the UPS.
Hi, Pedro.
Hi, good morning. What's up?
Good morning.
Ready to play The Eyes Have It. You understand the game as it has been explained?
Yes.
Okay. Built as the entrance arch to the 1989 World's Fair, this famous monument is the tallest standing structure in Paris.
Be the 1889 World's Fair.
That one, too.
Eiffel Tower.
The Eiffel Tower is correct.
Right. Eiffel Tower.
Pedro speaks Kevin, so it's no problem. He understood that I was 100 years off. But other than that, everything is good. You hold on for the drawing. Who else do we have, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up is Richard. He's a piece of furniture, apparently.
Hello, guys.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Richard.
Yeah.
Here's your question. By the way, there was a lot of talk about me not reading the questions. A lot of
so
that.
Far, so good.
This legendary type of Chevy Camaro was introduced in 1985 and quickly became the it car for cheesy Guidos in Jersey and mustachioed cops all over this great nation of ours.
Type of Chevy Camaro.
It doesn't look like... looks like his phone dropped.
Sounds like he's gone.
Oh, he left. His phone got disconnected. That was
give the same question to Joe then.
All right.
Joe's had a chance to hear it already. So
sure.
He's Joe, hi. Hello, Joe.
Joe. Joe's gone.
Oh.
We are not
this is a bad sign.
We're not having phone problems again. Wow, this is good for Pedro though, because he's the only he got one right.
He's gonna get nine iPods.
He's gonna get nine iPods. All right, let's
try Brian.
Oh, see what happened?
Nice.
Hey, Brian.
Brian?
Hello?
Hey, okay. There you are.
Stay there.
Hey.
Wow, this is odd. People can't hear us. All right. I'm going to read the question for you again.
Oh, crap.
How dare you? This legendary type of Chevy Camaro was introduced in 1985 and quickly became the it car for cheesy Guidos in Jersey and mustachioed cops all over this great nation of ours.
I don't know.
Your answer did have an I in it.
Yes. We can't make fun of you.
But incorrect. It's IROC or IROC Z.
Yeah, I never would have gotten
IROC.
That.
IROC!
Yeah. Well, you shouldn't have. He's a dude.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? He should have got it.
Yeah.
Who else do we have, Mr. Announcer Man?
Let's go to Doug. He doesn't have a job. He could use an iPod.
to sell. Hey, Doug.
Hey, good morning.
Are you ready for The Eyes Have It?
Yes, I am.
All right, I'm going to try my best on this one, but there's no possible way. This Islamic Republic is not only President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad's stomping ground, but is also the title of the Flock of Seagulls' most kick-ass song.
Oh, is that Iran?
Yeah, it is.
How would you guess?
Hey, Mike. Hey, Mike. What we're going to do is we're going to wait for him to come up with the answer.
And then play that.
And then when he says Iran, that's when we back it up with the song.
How could he guess it was Iran when you played Iran before he answered?
That may not have been good timing at all.
No, it was great.
Hey, congratulations. How did you know that one, Doug?
You're in the draw.
I was just a lucky guess.
Yeah, lucky for you that Mike's an idiot.
Wow. All right, who else do we have, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up is Amanda.
Oh, you are dumb. Hi, Amanda.
Hi.
All right, you ready for your question?
Yes, I am.
Here you go. A beautiful state in Pacific Northwest. That was one of the first stops on Bean's Great Haircut Edition.
Expedition.
Sure. Like it matters. The 43rd state admitted into the Union, and goddamn do they love potatoes and white people.
Idaho.
Idaho is correct.
Idaho!
Nicely done.
Yes, you are, Amanda. Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
All right, who else do we have, Mr. Announcer?
Next up is Mike.
See, because it has an I in it.
Yes.
I got
hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going? Good morning.
Right. How's it morning? You a Simpsons fan, I hope?
Sure.
Okay, good. Many Simpsons fans believe this Spanish phrase were Bart's first words. It indicates surprise or shock, and Bart still commonly shouts it.
Ay, caramba.
Ay, caramba.
Ay, caramba.
Is correct. Nicely done. Who else do we have, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up is Andrew.
Andrew, hi.
Popozao, people. How's it going?
Popozao.
Here's your question, Andrew. This was the band Survivor's biggest hit. Written at the request of Sly Stallone to be used in Rocky III, it is still the best song in the world to get pumped to. Grrr.
Eye of the Tiger!
Eye of the Tiger!
See, Mike, after he says Eye of the Tiger,
that's when
then
you play
we
it.
Play the audio.
Then we play the song.
That's better.
To reinforce it.
That's
all right.
Much better.
Lisa May has the drawing.
Okay.
We can get
so
three winners. How many people?
I'm going to get three, so I'm going to discard two of these.
That's correct.
And I have got Doug.
All right, the unemployed guy, Doug.
Doug!
Congratulations, Doug. You got the three iPods and the $5 gift certificate.
Thank you very much.
Nicely done.
We got Mike.
All right, Mike.
Yes.
Congratulations. You got it?
Thanks.
And
Amanda.
Amanda. The music ran out. Start it again. There we go. Oh, that's Andrew. Sorry. This is working well.
Hey, Amanda.
Amanda. There she is.
Amanda.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi.
You
nicely
win.
Done.
Say Idaho again.
So
say Idaho.
Idaho.
You sure are.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday morning. That means we take a look at the Showbiz Bee with Ralph Garman. Check out what went on over the weekend.
Also means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, $24.6 million. Made it number one for 2 weeks in a row. People love 3D cartoon food falling out of the sky.
What's not to love?
I think people love when it's 125 degrees outside. I think they love taking their kids someplace air-conditioned.
There's that, too.
Then why didn't they take their kids to go see Surrogates, where robots take over for people and kill each other?
Maybe
not as child-friendly.
Probably then. Not, yeah.
The Bruce Willis movie was number two at the box office. Then Fame! You got to do that when you say Fame.
You have to do that. And
the hand jazz
splash.
Hands, yeah.
Jazz hand, yeah.
Fame. I'm going to live forever. $10 million made it number three. The Informant was fourth. Then Tyler Perry with I Can Do Bad All By Myself. Number five. People still going to see Tyler Perry?
They are.
Pandorum was sixth. Love Happens was seventh. Jennifer's Body came in at number eight. Number nine was the movie Nine. And Inglourious Basterds rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to CBS CEO Les Moonves and his TV news wife, Julie Chen. They had a son last Thursday morning here in Los Angeles. Charlie is the name. Charlie Chen. No, I guess it'll be Charlie Moonves. Yeah. Congratulations to a nice man, a good man. Man that
I
enjoy his work enormously.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he is a good person and does good things.
A hero of
and
ours.
And everything that he does is good and good. He also owns our radio station.
That happens too.
There you go. Jamie Presley from My Name is Earl got married over the weekend. She said, I do to
at the Crab Shack?
Not at the Crab Man at the Crab Shack? No. She got married to Sir Man Singh.
Hey!
At Dick Clark's house in Malibu, California on Saturday
Dick
afternoon.
Clark's
Dick Clark's house?
Yes.
That's where the
he's not using it anymore.
That's where the wedding was held.
It out.
Maybe they're friends. I don't know.
Did he get on the mic?
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
That's what he said as she walked down the aisle, and it was very exciting. Then they dropped a ball on her, or at least her husband did. Afterwards.
Oh, hey now.
Khloe Kardashian and Lamar Odom, speaking of weddings, after a month of knowing each other, got married yesterday evening in Beverly Hills.
Nice. Why wait?
Why wait indeed? Just rush into marriage. That's always been our motto around here, because that's when it works out the best.
The success rate is super high, so it's pretty difficult to fail.
Sure, you can get to know each other before you get married, but that takes all the fun and excitement out of it. This way, if you get married early when you don't really know each other, then you have a lifetime of surprises.
Bad surprises.
Well, not necessarily.
Mostly, though.
Look, if you can look at Khloe Kardashian and say, yes, I'm going to marry her, you can get through almost anything, I think. I think Lamar Odom's well on his way. 250 guests were there. The bride wore a Vera Wang dress.
Hey!
Well, a couple Vera Wang dresses.
Yeah!
They had to stitch them together, but still.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying. That's what she wore. Bijou Phillips.
Oh!
Lovely and talented actress. And daughter of legendary 60s musician John Phillips of the Mamas and the Papas is speaking out about her half-sister Mackenzie Phillips, talking about how she had a decade-long sexual affair with their father. Did you hear that story last week, Kevin? I don't know
if
you were on
vacation.
Wow, is
that an ugly story?
I've heard about Mackenzie Phillips having a romantic and sexual relationship with her dad for a decade.
Yeah.
Apparently,
got pregnant too, right?
Yeah, but they don't know if it was dad's or some other dude's.
Okay.
She had an abortion, so they never really found out.
Wow.
She wasn't sure. But that's when she decided maybe it was time to end the relationship, when it potentially could have been her father's
someone
baby.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
No, someone loved you too much when you were little, I think was the problem. Anyway, Bijou finally released a statement regarding the story and said she doesn't think it's the case.
She doesn't think what's the
case? She doesn't think they had a relationship. She thinks Mackenzie's making it up.
Really?
I wouldn't put it past her. Several
members of the family have, mostly his ex-wives, which you can understand why they would have to live in denial. But Bijou said she never had any sort of, you know, inappropriate attention from her father, which doesn't mean he couldn't have done it at one time.
Of course.
But she says, the quote is, "I'm on dad's team on this one. He was a real-life Mr. Mom that raised me from the age of three and was incapable of doing such things.
I sort of have a boner."
Oh, come on. So,
wasn't it money that made the point
the
last
family
week?
Family is schismed.
About the fact that it was consensual.
Right.
And she said it was consensual.
Right.
And it was from the age of 19
to
29.
29. Yes.
Really? I mean, why would you say it was consensual if it wasn't? It doesn't make you look good. So to lie about this, it seems odd. It seems far-fetched that this would be a lie.
If she was doing this for attention, don't you think it would be, I was touched.
Yeah.
By who? A priest. It happened a long time ago.
Or my dad when I was, you know, 10.
Yeah, it does seem very specific, the story, in order to be fabricated.
She's taken
And this is
a
story that she has told other people, though,
and
a long time before she had announced it in her book. She had informed members of her family. I mean, Bijou here says that Mackenzie told her when she was 13, that she had a conversation about it, and she told him. She also told China Phillips, her other half-sister, as well.
Hey.
So, just saying. Splitting up the family.
Yeah.
It's bad news.
Hard to believe.
I don't think that's a really tight family. Anyway.
No.
I think it's a little too tight, if you ask me.
Yeah.
I think if they were a little looser, they'd be better off.
That's what he said.
And we've got our first cancellation of the fall TV season.
Already?
Yeah.
And rightly so.
The Beautiful Life. The new series on the CW starring Misha Barton as a troubled runway model.
Oh, yeah.
There was one?
Yeah.
I tried to watch that. My TiVo actually canceled it for me halfway through.
What are you thinking, trying to watch that? Of all the new television that's constantly being bombarded upon us for the past
I try to watch every
month.
New show once.
Well, not that.
Just to see.
You don't have any standards
Plus,
below which you'll
no,
go,
no,
I'm
no,
not even going to try it once.
Just to see.
I
yeah.
know.
No.
No. No. You don't have an hour of your life to waste on The Beautiful Life.
Well,
you don't.
I wasted a half hour.
We don't have that much time. Lisa, tick, tick, tick.
We're going to talk to somebody from Entertainment Weekly about all of the new TV shows and all the TV shows that Lisa apparently has to check out.
Apparently.
I just think it's my job to see them at least once.
I don't have to see that to know it's bad.
But I wanted to see how bad.
No!
Yeah, and plus Misha Barton was in the news. I wanted to see how
she
was.
Wow, you
got a lot of time.
By the way, you guys, it was bad.
No, really? What a shock!
And you know why I can say that? Because I saw it.
Yeah.
It was from the genius mind of Ashton Kutcher, though. He was the producer on the show.
Really?
There is that.
He doesn't do a lot of failures. Also canceled, by the way, Benjamin Bratt's show, The Cleaner.
has been cleaned from A&E's schedule.
Hmm.
After, that was on for a couple of years, right?
After the 13-episode second season concluded earlier this month, it was announced it shan't be returning to the A&E network. So, there you go.
Okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Hilary Duff is 22 years old today. TV personality from Jackass, Bam Margera is 30 years old. Happy birthday, Bama. What, how are you going to celebrate today? You have any plans?
I'm gonna punch Wee Man in the face.
That sounds fun. Young Jeezy's 32.
Yeah!
Naomi Watts turns 41. Oh. Mira Sorvino, Oscar-winning actress, is 42. And Janine Garofalo is 45 years old today. At one time, kids, you may not remember this because it was, you know, back in granddad's age, but Janine Garofalo used to be a comedian.
She used to be funny.
She'd get on stage and make jokes.
She did.
Then she got into the world of politics and made her bitter.
She just wears glasses and drinks strong coffee and yells.
Way tatted out, too. Like, yes. Way tatted out.
She's a woman on a mission. As soon as we figure out what that mission is, we'll let you know.
To become a man. That is. That's what she's trying to do.
I'm not sure about that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So, you know, the people who love the animals, they are crazy people.
That's
a lot
me.
Of times. Yeah. PETA, crazy people. I mean, you know, they'll protect a cockroach and we'll lose 7 million American jobs because of this little area where the cockroach needs to be protected.
Well, the cockroaches have a right to live, too.
They may go a little too far.
Sometimes.
But this is the first time I've ever seen someone go the opposite direction. And here's the story from the BBC.
They're cute and cuddly, but is that enough? This week, a BBC Nature host actually suggested pandas should be put out of their misery. He argues that pandas are an evolutionary dead end. They're not very bright, they're hopeless at reproduction in captivity, and they happen to live in the most populous country on the planet. So Packham asked, does the species really deserve to survive?
That's a little,
Wow, coming down on pandas?
What have they ever done to him?
That cannot be popular.
He's a BBC wildlife expert, Chris Packham. And,
oh, my God.
We actually have him on the phone right now, so we can talk about this a little bit. Hey, Chris.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Now, this takes balls right here to come out and say, go ahead and let him die.
Well, I simply feel, I mean, obviously, I am an expert in wildlife.
Yeah.
Right.
And I believe that certain species... It is the evolution, an inevitability,
right,
that some species will eventually die out. It's the way things have been for millions and millions of years on the planet.
So you think we're interrupting that process?
Absolutely.
By forcing them to live?
Yes, that was my point. It's that if pandas, if they don't procreate, if they're not capable of sustaining their own species, then who are we to step in and insist that they continue to live?
Well, I mean, but part of the problem is that we have invaded their habitat, so it's partly our fault.
Yes, but we've given them ample opportunities in captivity to procreate, and they just will not F each other.
They're really not. They're not into having sex. They're too tired. They sleep 23 hours a day.
They are fat and lazy. And they are effing useless. Well,
they're
as
not
a creature.
They're not helping their own cause to stay alive if they won't procreate.
Right, that's what I'm saying. We've given you a chance. We understand your habitat is being encroached upon. Boo hoo hoo. Yeah, right. Okay, yeah. But here you go. It's a nice cage. It's plenty of bamboo to eat. Go at it. And no, they don't do it.
But
because they're fat and lazy and should be dead.
And cage is what's wrecking the mood.
Maybe the cage. Listen, if I wanted to get it on and I was in a loose stage, you know, a loo in the subway station,
sure,
I would just knock it out.
Right.
That's what I would do. I would just, yeah, take it.
They don't seem interested.
No, they don't do that. They don't do that because they're fat and lazy and they should be dead.
Wow, it sounds like you have a personal vendetta here.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, it's because they're cute, right? Oh, look, Lizzie's just wearing a little mask. Oh, the panda's so cute. Oh, it's cute. If he looked like Khloe Kardashian, then we would let the panda just die. But because they're cute, we spend millions and millions of pounds trying to keep them alive.
Well, it does seem like they're a unique animal.
Yeah.
There's nothing else like them.
I mean, they're pretty fascinating.
Oh, they're unique. Oh, look at them. They're black and white bears. Oh, we have to have those. They're very special. No, they're just bears that are fat and lazy and should be dead.
Why do you hate?
I'm just saying that I know they're cute, but that's not enough of a reason to keep them alive and to spend
all the money that, several wildlife foundations spend in the hopes that eventually one will find out where the other's genitals are.
Yeah.
It's just it's a long process, and frankly, they're too cute. I don't like cute all that much.
Oh, is that the problem?
Look at me. Ooh.
Too cute.
Oh, I just rolled around. Look at me eating bamboo. Aren't I cute? No, not particularly. No, not Adam and oh.
What is that?
A kitten.
A kitten? What? Hey!
Yeah. Right, that's it.
What happened?
Yeah, there you go. How do you like that?
Did you shoot a kitten?
Yeah.
What?
How can you do that?
He was trying to eat my tuna fish. I'll have none of that, thank you.
But you're not much of a conservationist, are you?
Oh, yeah. Well, we need a lot of cats around, don't we? Yeah, we absolutely need cats. Oh, freaking puppy.
No. Oh, come on. Hey, you're kidding. It took 4 shots to kill a puppy. That seems extraordinary.
It was a big puppy.
Dude, honestly, you got it. I don't think you're doing much for the animal cause. Perhaps you should go into another line of work.
Zoology may have been a poor choice for me.
This is very possible. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, and there's a lot of TV, and it's pretty hard to keep track of what's going on.
Yeah.
I know that Dexter premiered last night, and I recorded it, and everybody's going, did you see it? Did you see it? Did you see it? Please don't tell
me. I didn't see it yet
either. But I'm excited about that. I'm excited about Family Guy premiered last night. There was about 75 premieres last night.
And you're excited about all of them that happened last night.
That's correct.
Oh, good.
We have Michael Osiello from Entertainment Weekly on the phone. Hi, Michael.
Hello.
Hi, Michael.
Talking about some of the shows that are returning this week specifically.
How about that Dexter finale last night?
Hey!
How dare you?
We can't. We haven't seen it yet.
What? You got to give us at least a day. That's our rule around here. Yeah. And then after a day, you can spoil
it. We get up a little early.
Well, I won't give it away, but there's a fun little twist in the final, like, 30 seconds.
Okay. All right. And that's when he turns and starts doing charity work instead of killing?
You're close.
Okay.
Getting warmer.
All right, good. So there were last night there was 60 Minutes, The Amazing Race, American Dad, Brothers and Sisters, Californication, The Cleveland Show, Cold Case, Desperate Housewives, Dexter, Extreme Home Makeover, Family Guy, and The Simpsons all came back.
Okay, I don't have enough TiVos for
last night.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was a big night of returning TV.
What's your favorite out of those that I just mentioned that came back yesterday?
Brothers and Sisters.
A tie between Dexter and Desperate Housewives.
What?
I heard Desperate Housewives is coming back strong.
Is it?
It is. And, you know, and I haven't always been the biggest fan and supporter of Desperate Housewives. I thought it's been, you know, uneven in previous seasons. I really liked the direction the show was going this season. I thought the first episode was really good. I think there were a lot of surprises. I mean, can we talk about what happened, or is that it, the 24-hour
rule? Sure. I don't watch it.
There's no danger of me seeing that.
Okay. Well, I mean, I thought it was really interesting that, you know, the big cliffhanger last season was, who's Mike going to choose, Susan or Catherine? I think everybody was assuming, myself included, that he would pick Catherine because, you know, the producers would want to drag out the Mike-Susan romance until, you know, there was no juice left in it at all.
Mm-hmm.
But surprisingly, they married Mike and Susan off and kind of turned Catherine into a bit of a psycho. I think that's going to make for a really interesting first half of the season.
And this season, there's a new cast member, too, right?
Drea De Mateo, who's really, really good. She's kind of essentially playing Andrea.
Yeah.
I'm blanking on her Sopranos name.
Adriana.
From
Sopranos, right.
Yeah. She's basically playing the same character, which is fine with me. I love that character, so it's nice to have her back.
Let's talk about tonight. One of my favorite shows, Lie to Me, is coming back tonight.
That is a good show.
That is such...
And it's even better because Sean Ryan, who is the creator, exec producer of The Shield, one of the best cop dramas
ever. The Shield, yep.
Has now taken over Lie to Me. He's the showrunner, and he kind of has already made his mark. It's already an improved show right out of the gate.
How about that? That is great news, because that's one of those shows that I would not miss. I really liked it.
It's fascinating.
Yeah. Now it's going to be even better. What else do we have later this week?
Well, let's see what else we have. Private Practice is returning, and there's another show that I have not been a fan of. But I have to say, the first episode, kind of liked it.
Really?
Yeah, it didn't suck so much.
You know, ABC, Michael's bringing back...
That's what you're looking for in a show, is didn't suck so much.
Is Timothy Daly...
looking for a show to improve, and Private Practice is definitely improving.
Okay.
I think the first episode, they did a really interesting narrative device that flashed back to when the gang first met. I thought it was really cleverly done, and I may actually watch Private Practice this season.
Timothy Daly...
Don't judge me.
Still on it, though? Or
what
is he gone? Timothy Daly. Did he leave?
No, he's still on it.
He is? Because I saw a commercial where he's on some other new show. I don't even know what it was, but I thought he must still have Private
Practice. I think you're making that up.
Thanks for adding that, Lisa.
It's right. Very someone will know.
I may have seen someone do something.
No, I did.
Lisa, you missed what he said. You made it up, or you were drunk at the time.
Or so, both.
Or I'll be wrong. Never mind.
Again, ABC, right. Michael, putting a lot of push on half-hour comedies this new fall season, bringing a lot out. What have you heard about The Middle?
I heard that it's decent, but then I watched it and I didn't love it.
What is The Middle?
It's Patricia Heaton in sort of ironically, it's very similar to Malcolm in the Middle. You know, sort of the harried mom with the crazy kids and everything. I think I like it. I think it's a decent show, but compared to the second hour of ABC's comedies with Modern Family and Cougar Town, it kind of pales in comparison. Both those shows I really enjoyed. By the way, they exploded in the ratings last week. They came back. I mean, they debuted huge, which is really promising for TV comedy. People have been saying it's dead.
I haven't Modern Family is brilliant.
I haven't seen Modern Family. It's hilarious. I was going to say, I'm so excited to hear it's good.
It's great,
it looked funny.
And I hope the ratings hold up this week. But, you know, ABC is doing four comedies now back-to-back on Wednesday. And Hank is the Kelsey Grammer sitcom in the middle of the Patricia Heaton one. Those are not nearly as good as Cougar Town and Modern Family.
So, Hank, we didn't get a chance to mention, but that's the new one from Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah, it's just very generic sitcom, not particularly funny. I mean, Kelsey Grammer is obviously very talented and has a great track record in comedy. I just think he deserves better than that show.
Boy, I'll tell you, it shows how difficult it is to make a good TV show because there's so many talented people that are working so hard and most just end up somewhere in the middle. They're just okay.
Right. Just because you've got a really talented star doesn't guarantee a good show, as we have seen before. You know, Jenna Elfman's show, Accidentally on Purpose, is proof of that.
After watching the sitcom that Patricia Heaton did with Kelsey Grammer, that new
back
show.
To you.
Yeah, back to you. I would not put them anywhere near each other on a TV schedule.
Actually wasn't terrible, but you know, that show benefited from the fact that there were so many terrible comedies at the time that one wasn't that awful, so it kind of seemed like it was a step above.
Right. That's what we try to do. We try to get in a business where everyone sucks, and then you're not quite as bad as them, but real close.
It's smart strategy.
All right. Anything else for this week?
Well, if you haven't been tuning into Curb Your Enthusiasm, the first two episodes have already aired. You want to check out this Sunday because it's when the Seinfeld arc starts.
Oh, that's what I'm looking for.
And that's what everyone is waiting for. Yeah. So,
and I got to tell you, I have not been too impressed with the show so far. The first two episodes of the season, I think I've been a little flat.
Me too.
A lot of people have been saying that, but trust me, It by episode three, when the Seinfeld stuff starts, you're going to be rewarded for your patience. It's really funny and fantastic. And I have to tell you, the first time that I saw the four of them sitting in back in the Seinfeld set, I got a little chill.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. I got to tell you, that show to me is one of the funniest and most amazing because he starts with so much minutiae and little tiny things, and then at the end, he ties them all together really well.
His performance has been really over the top though this year so far. The first two shows, yeah.
But hasn't that been his shit all along?
I don't think so.
He's funny as I think when he is sort of being a slow simmering kind of madman with craziness going on around him. But he's doing a lot of shtick so far this year, I think.
Okay, well, I think there's less shtick coming up this Sunday and more Seinfeld.
Yeah, I think it's better when the people around him get crazy and he sort of reacts to it, you know?
Right.
All right, choose between Curb Your Enthusiasm and The Middle. Which would you choose?
Oh, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Okay,
no
just
contest.
Checking. All right, Dexter's back on Sunday. Californication is back on Sunday as well, like they were last night. So very exciting time in TV. Stuff's coming back. We appreciate you taking the time, Michael.
You bet, anytime.
Thank you, man. I was in Las Vegas over the weekend for Frozen Fury, which is the first Kings game. They always play the Avalanche. They play them at the MGM Grand, and it's always a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But I was very upset. That's the only thing that could have kept me from the Soapbox Derby. And my four buds who were there on Saturday as the Summer of Death.
We're number six! We're number six! We're number six!
Woo! Now, if I'm not mistaken, explain to people what it is first who don't know what a Soapbox
it's
Derby is.
It's a downhill race of engineless cars.
Can't be powered in any way except for weight.
Right. Right, that's pretty much it.
Okay, and there are a couple jumps and a couple turns.
There were two jumps, and more intense than the jumps was the 90-degree banked turn. That was sketchy McSketch. That was sketch Armstrong.
But by the way, you can see the video. Go to kevinandme.com, and you can see the video of these guys. They actually put together some highlights of it. Now, explain to people the Summer of Death and how that worked into your theme.
Our team was the Summer of Death team, and our car was essentially a moving coffin. DJ Omar Khan here portrayed DJ AM.
Right.
My friend Dave the King of Mexico was Billy Mays. I was Patrick Swayze, Psycho Mike, and our friend Anel Rivers, our token black listener, was Michael Jackson himself.
The Summer of Death.
Now, you guys, if I recall correctly, a couple of months ago when you hatched this idea, the whole thing was, we're going to go do this, we're probably going to die.
Yeah.
There's no doubt that we'll wipe out. But it's going to be an interesting.
And here's the thing, and Dave back. Dave was the other guy in the car with me, okay? There's only two guys in the car.
Right.
I said that a month ago, and I thought it was going to be all fun and games.
Right.
Sure, we're going to wipe out, but we're going to be going 5 miles an hour, and who cares? And we'll wipe out, and it'll be fun and games.
That was the whole goal the entire time.
Then yes. You get up on that top of that hill, and you realize, oh, no.
That's no joke.
Meaning the wipeout would be way worse than you.
Oh,
so
yes.
Now you don't want to.
This is a serious downhill. Mm. Serious downhill.
The average speed was 49 miles per hour.
Wow.
You could super get hurt.
And I thought we went faster than that. Yeah, I don't know if we
your
did.
Your car
but
is not padded, really, no, at all. No.
Now, you guys, were you supposed to do like a skit beforehand? A 30-second skit? Oh, yeah. How did that go? What?
I, for what it was, I thought we did well. Everybody started off on the ground as if we were dead.
Right.
And then Thriller kicked in.
Yes.
And we all got up, and Anel, as Michael Jackson, started Michael Jacksoning. Dave, as you can see on the video.
This started, you guys came to life.
Yeah. Dave, as you can see on the video, started a sales pitch as Billy Mays. He's
right.
Walking around.
Yeah. I had some records with me, and I started scratching on the records.
Yeah.
DJ AM.
How did the DJ AM thing go over? Because
some people, you know, got it, and then some people would walk by, you know, check out the car, and they would just shake their heads and
yeah.
Move on.
Now, yeah. Here's the thing. Like I said, I was in Vegas. I was at a poker tournament, and I got a text from Dave. And the text from Dave said, oh, we got robbed by the judges.
100%.
Totally.
And I texted back. I sat out of hand because I was so upset. I said, I thought the idea was for you to wipe out. When did you start taking it seriously?
Well, listen, a lot of work went into our car.
I know.
And honestly, in comparison to other cars, ours was really high performing. I mean, it was really a well-built car that was geared to succeed.
Right. And what percentage of that car would you say you guys built?
0%.
That's what I thought.
0%. We really have to thank
Brought in professional.
Sean at Big Power Company in Long Beach and Jack's Bicycles for making this car happen.
All right.
Okay.
Now you can see the video at kevinandbean.com, but I want to play a little bit of the announcer, and then I want from you guys the reason why you think you lost. And who the judges were.
The second Red Bull Arch has a jump. It just went off it.
Oh, here they come.
They're in the coffin. The Deathmobile. No
so
practice.
They love to put the competition right in the ground. They want to bury them in that coffin. Really good.
That was really good. No practice, no rehearsal. Stuck it like a freshman cheerleader. That was beautiful. Summer of Death right there. Good to have you.
They look good. You guys hit a couple of jumps. The first one, I thought you were going to die, Mike, because Dave was behind you.
Yeah. Did you hear the crowd go, oh,
yeah.
That's because I almost flew out of the coffin.
Dave was 1 centimeter from flying.
Oh, yeah. My God.
That was gnarly. I was really afraid
I was
Dave,
ahead
sure.
of Mike, and I had to pull myself in, which was awesome.
Yeah. Dave's knees were driving into my back for stability, and that's fine. Yeah, that's the way we got set up.
That's what you
and
guys do on every Saturday
over,
night.
When we went over that jump, I felt no knees, and I went, oh my God, Dave just flew out of the car. And I was really scared.
You can see, if you watch it in slow motion, you can just see him going, no. Yeah. He started to just fly. It would have been awesome if he would have done that. So who were the judges?
The judges were former American Idol contestant Kimberly Caldwell.
Okay.
Sal Masekela,
mm-hmm.
Eric Estrada,
really okay,
and some other people that I don't know.
Two guys that we don't know.
Okay. And who gave you the lowest score?
Sal Masekela.
How dare you, sir?
You Why? Know we're gonna have him on again.
Now here's a guy who we have on all the time. He's a friend,
and he's a cool guy.
Yes,
he seems like the type of guy who would understand the comedy in Summer of Death and would not take it too seriously.
Who would you guess offended him of the four of you?
I have to go with DJ Omar Khan because when we not as a person, but when we came, the judges came to judge us. We did our sales pitch. Dave says, "Billy Mays here for the Summer of Death," and Anel's talking as Michael Jackson and dancing around, and I'm doing "Pain Don't Hurt" and no one would save me in the corner.
The Summer of Death.
And what was Omar doing?
They walk over to Omar, they say, DJ AM, how do you feel? And he goes, I overdosed.
Yeah. That was my contribution to
Here's the point.
What? He overdosed.
Right, I know. But it's tasteless enough that you're DJ AM.
Okay.
That's enough tasteless. You know, then you don't have to go, I overdosed. Because, like, everybody who wanted...
What do you want me to say? Wiki, wiki?
Everybody who wanted to look at that and laugh... felt bad a little bit about it, but then when you say that, then they're like, oh, no, 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 that's not right.
Our car was really cool. We, I think, went out of our way with the costumes and the look. We performed well, and we got a low score. I have to think that the reason was because we were so offensive. Bottom line.
Wow. I ran into Kimberly Caldwell later that night, and she said it was our presentation.
So they didn't think it was funny.
I'm thinking DJ Omar Khan.
Omar Khan.
We can't pin this all on Omar.
All four of you are being tasteless.
Right.
Because you're playing people who died recently. Omar's, his comment is, I overdosed. It takes it from being funny to super not funny.
But at the end of the day, no way.
Are you kidding?
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not.
Well, yeah, you must be because I'm right, dude. Okay? I'm telling you.
I'm telling you, people don't have our sense of humor.
Yeah, maybe.
And what? Just the fact that you're DJ AM, for most people that's outside of this room, right, they think it's like tasteless.
I think that we had already blown them out of the water with tastelessness by that point. I don't think Omar really, you know, was a straw that broke the camel's back.
Well, we're going to have to ask Sal next time we have him on why he gave you a 6, which was the lowest score that you got.
But at the end of the day, that was an awesome experience. And the people at Red Bull put on a great, great event. And I'm just so happy we were involved
with it. 6 out of 47, by the way. It's pretty good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, like
that's
totally fair.
It was 47, exactly, and we didn't crash.
That's amazing. 6 out of 47? We scored 6 out of 47 entries.
Yeah. Oh, that's not bad at all.
Really good. You guys did great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
We had one of the fastest times down the hill. So.
How about that? Yeah. And Dave, it might be time for you to stop following DJ AM's Twitter. You still got
it? Still on.
Check this weekend. You never know, dude.
I'm waiting for the update.
Maybe Omar can start digging up.
I was at the Red Bull Soapbox race. I overdosed. Did not go well.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. If you don't own the new Muse CD, you fail. That's it. That's all there is to
it. You fail large.
Yes. Right. Let's get into some showbiz, and then when we come back after the top of the hour, you've never had sex while sober.
Thank you. You're right. And I am not apologizing
about
you.
I'm not sorry. People who have never had sex sober.
Isn't that remarkable?
It really
is. It
is kind of
stunning.
It's really a little scary, I think.
Yeah, they took a poll of 3,000 women, I think it was, in the UK, and 6% of them, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you consider 6% of 3,000 women said they never had sex while sober.
It's like 200 or something like that.
Right. Yeah, they'd always had a load on. While they're having sex.
Because they drink
Which,
like
of course,
fishes
there's
there.
Nothing wrong.
Well, sure.
We're not saying there's anything wrong with that, as long as you don't drink too much. But the fact that they never had sex, well,
they must be like ugly. That's what I'm saying. Some guy's got to get liquored up in order to jump into that bed. So we will talk about that. But we've got some showbiz news first. I don't know if anybody besides myself caught the fight Saturday night on HBO between Vitaly Klitschko. Champ of the WBC, heavyweight champion. We had him on the show last week.
Sure did.
A sweetheart of a guy. You'd never know that he beat people up for a living.
That's the way some of the best fighters are.
He's got a PhD, by the way.
Does he really?
Ass-kicking,
yeah.
You know, they give those out.
I think philosophy?
That's no
BS.
Kidding.
Yeah.
That's
you
BS.
You can tell he's a really smart guy. He speaks like 4 languages.
That's why he's Dr. Iron Fist, because he's got a PhD. He's a doctor.
Good in one thing.
That's Dr. Iron Fist.
Is that his nickname?
That's his fight name.
That's
yeah.
the best.
And his brother, Vladimir Klitschko, is Dr. Steelhammer.
Because he uses a hammer?
No, because he hits really hard.
Oh, I see.
Anyway, he fought Mexican-American heavyweight Chris Arreola last night for the championship and did not go well for Mr. Arreola.
Got beat up pretty bad?
He did.
Yeah.
And it was here in Los Angeles, and a lot of Mexican-Americans were in the audience rooting for him.
Sure.
And I think Arreola felt the pressure of his entire people on his back, because if he had won, he would have been the first ever Mexican heavyweight champion.
Right.
It has never happened before. So after the fight was stopped, I think it was stopped in the 10th, because he was pretty bloodied and beaten by this point.
And wasn't protecting himself at all? I mean, that's usually what they
go
with.
No, he was...
he was conscious, he was lucid, his hands were still high, he was defending himself, but he was just taking a beating, and nothing was going to change.
Dishing it out,
there was no sign in the fight that things were going to swing his way, and I think his corner and the ref said, you know what, you're taking in a significant amount of punishment, enough is enough, let's put a stop to this. He didn't quit, let's let that be known, but he did cry like a baby afterwards.
He cried.
When they stopped the fight, he bawled.
He cried.
Cried.
You don't. There's not.
You wouldn't
no
think.
Room for that.
Don't cry you in really boxing. Wouldn't think
no.
So.
You can cry in the dressing room afterwards.
Sure.
But don't cry in the ring. And then they talked to him after the fight, and he unleashed a torrent of F-bombs and tears. Unlike that I haven't seen since one of my worst breakups. Really, I haven't seen that much F-bomb dropping and crying. Here's a little taste of Chris Arilla.
I don't know, man. I just want to say sorry to everybody, man. I really wanted to be a champion today, man. And I worked my ass off. Vitaly's a strong motherfucker. He hits hard. And I never wanted to quit, man. That's never in me. I didn't want to quit. I wanted to go to full 12 rounds. I know it's f***ing up, but hey, I'm sorry, guys.
Wow.
He was apologizing to the audience pretty much.
Wow, what a bummer to have to apologize for a whole nation.
Yeah, I felt bad for the guy.
Yeah, but you don't cry.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Come on, you can't hold it together for 30 seconds and then go in private somewhere and
I don't
want
to mock the guy too bad because he'll kill me, but I'm
right.
Just saying, you know, cry later.
Cry in private.
Speaking of sports, you were in
Vegas
this weekend for the Kings, right? They were
hockey.
Playing the
Avalanche,
the tornado on ice, whatever they call that show. Have you seen the new sports club in Vegas?
No.
Stadium?
No, I haven't.
Emeril Lagasse has opened up a sports bar in Vegas.
He's a master chef,
he
right?
He is, at the Palazzo Hotel. It is a sports bar and book. I've always thought this about Vegas. They've got sports books in all the hotels.
Right.
But you go there to watch a game, and you have to sit like in a third-grade elementary school desk.
If
it's
you
like
can find a seat,
it's like
yeah.
a plastic chair with a little thing over it, and you got to watch it.
Yeah.
This sports club has stadium-tiered couches.
No
wow.
kidding.
In front of, like, an IMAX-sized screen, and then two levels of TVs everywhere else with about four bars.
Wow.
He does all the food, so you get, like, buffalo wings and stuff, but it's, like, top-notch food.
How about that?
I was there Friday night. You have to go. You especially, Kevin, would love this place. It's insane. It's at the Palazzo Hotel and Casino.
I've never heard of the Palazzo.
Me
I don't
neither.
Know what
it's
that
the
is.
One right next to the Venetian.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Owned by the same people, I think. Same Italian theme. But it is called
that?
Stadium, and it is the best sports bar I've ever seen in Vegas.
How about that?
It was
that?
Amazing. We had a blast Friday night, so check it out. Just a little heads up. Monday means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs was number one at the box office this week.
And that's based on a true story.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You remember when we had that downpour of meatballs.
Yeah, that was bizarre.
Last year. That's when the drought started. We had plenty of meatballs, no rain.
Balls.
No water.
Ruined my umbrella.
You know, we need the water, by the
yeah.
way, when it comes to that.
Yeah. Always use it.
We need the water.
Yeah.
See, there was like a main break at Fairfax and...
There's
and,
always a main break now.
Like
every
San
week.
Vicente.
Yeah,
we're shooting
question.
Water like Old Faithful out of the street. And I was like, someone should turn that off. I can't water my lawn. Someone should turn that thing off.
They keep yelling at us to conserve water, and then these lines are breaking everywhere and ruining all of our progress.
Right.
At least am I speaking of shooting like Old Faithful.
All right.
Thank you,
Gene
Simmons.
Surrogates was number two at the box office. Fame was third. The Informant. Came in at number four. Tyler Perry's I Can Do Bad All By Myself was fifth. Pandorum was six. Love Happens, seven. Jennifer's Body came in at eight. Number nine was number nine. Inglourious Basterds was number 10 at the box office this weekend. And the big story for the weekend in terms of the showbiz world must be the just fast and furious relationship between Khloe Kardashian and Lamar Odom. Khloe Kardashian, of course, of the famous Kardashian sisters. With their reality show over on E! And Lamar Odom is an L.A. Laker.
Yeah.
Who has just got a new deal for like $33 million or something, right?
Yeah.
They got married on Sunday in Beverly Hills. 250 people attended, including Ryan Seacrest, who just happens to produce the reality show that the Kardashians star on.
How about that? What a surprise.
Kelly Osbourne was there. They ran out of cake about 5 minutes into the reception.
Oh.
That's what I heard. Kobe was there. Chelsea Handler, Lara Spencer, Brittany Gastineau, Lala Vasquez. Wow, that guest list drops right off there.
As long as Lala's there.
Woo! Anyway, congratulations to the new couple, and I still hold to, I think 8 months was my pick last week. We did an over-under on how long we thought the relationship was going to last. Speaking of Kelly Osbourne, you want to see her naked?
Nope.
Yeah.
She has...
I don't know, maybe after she finishes Dancing with the Stars, because people do get in great shape.
And she's only been on it, what, like 3 weeks now? And she's already lost like 14, 15 pounds.
Yeah, she could look pretty great. Yeah.
She does look better.
Yeah.
And you know, when we had her in the studio, she's really a cute girl.
She is. I think she's cute. Yeah.
And she's young.
Yeah.
But she's never, ever been sexy.
Hot. Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's the difference between cute and sexy.
True.
Anyway, Playboy magazine apparently in talks with Kelly about posing nude in those pages of that magazine.
Can they talk less about that and more about other things?
What Playboy? Do you mean?
Can they lessen that?
Because they're in talks?
Yeah, a little bit.
Do you want them to talk about something else?
Anyone else?
And lastly, Stephanie Pratt apparently is off the wagon.
Uh-oh.
According to Star magazine, the sister of Spencer Pratt went through rehab 3 years ago.
Oh, I did not know that.
But was recently seen downing cocktails in the middle of the afternoon, according to the magazine, so people fearing she may have fallen back into her cocktailing ways.
What time you get caught drinking tells everything that you need to know. Drinking at night, all right, maybe you're having trouble. Drinking in the afternoon, you got problems. Drinking in the morning?
Well, unless you're in Vegas, right?
Yeah,
I was doing all those things this weekend.
Vegas.
Speaking of drinking in the afternoon, Tawny Kitaen. Maybe she was drinking with Stephanie Pratt.
Uh-oh.
She was on Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew famously. Remember that?
Yes. And she did well.
She was popped for DUI in Newport Beach last Saturday. Drinking 3 o'clock in the afternoon, she got pulled over for DUI.
Hmm. Wow.
I feel bad for her kids. She has really great kids.
Supposedly, she's been sober since December 2006, so this is quite a quite a fallback.
That's just sad.
Maybe DJ Omar can go make fun of her next time there's a big race. Maybe
you're a drinker.
On her. I drink in the 3 in the afternoon.
Did you hear him yelling at me?
Yeah.
I did was right.
Standing by his I overdosed comment. Today's celebrity birthdays. Hilary Duff is 22 years old today. From Jackass, Bam Margera celebrates his 30th birthday. Young Jeezy's 32. Naomi Watts is 41. Mira Sorvino's 42. And Janine Garofalo, who was a comedian and actress, now she just grits her teeth. Just goes, argh!
She does that a lot.
She's 45. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
This study is a little bit scary that comes out of Britain. A new study of 3,000 British women. They don't say how old, by the way. I don't know if you've noticed this, but maybe sometimes that's a bad sign. 3,000 British women.
Mm-hmm.
More than half prefer to consume alcohol before having sex.
Right. So they'd like to have a drink or two.
Yes.
Just to relax, but they don't have to.
Right. They say it helps them lose their inhibitions about their body, allows them to be a little bit more adventurous.
Okay.
And then they went on to ask, what percentage of women have never had sex while sober? They have had to have alcohol every single time. 6% said yes. Out of 3,000, that's 180 people said, I've never been sober once.
The study said the average woman has slept with 8 men of these 3,000 British women and was drunk at least 5 times. With 5 of those men, they were drunk. That's the average woman in the survey. Like, some women, 8 out of 8. If she had sex with 8 men, she was drunk with all 8 of them.
But I'm assuming if you have sex with one guy multiple times, there will be some point at which you no longer need to have alcohol.
Maybe that's
some
not the problem.
Women never have had sober sex, Lisa, according to this study.
Wow.
That means never once, not with anybody ever.
That's disturbing.
Look, it's liquid courage. Let's be honest. That it really does kind of loosen you up. You're not so tense about yourself, perhaps your body image, whatever.
Right, sure. But for the first time,
maybe.
But by the 10th time with that person, you think?
I wonder if this
or
is
one-night stands.
If these are people who this is someone new each time.
And they're young.
Yeah, and they don't have a relationship so they can feel comfortable yet. So maybe every
That's
time.
6% of women claim they have never had sex without being under the influence of alcohol. This doesn't mean that they had sober sex eventually when they got to know the guy or anything. This is they never had sex without being under the influence.
Wow.
Never. 6%.
Psycho Mike, that's true of you too, right?
Pretty much.
For those who don't know, Psycho Mike had a drug and alcohol problem for a long time. He's since been in recovery and is doing great with that. But the majority of your sexual experiences were when you were loaded, right?
The overwhelming majority of sex came when I was under the influence of something, and I'm starting to think that like it may have some you guys hit on something with the body image thing. I pretty much learned how to deal with the opposite sex in an intimate way, being totally screwed up on drugs and alcohol. So then when
because you didn't care as much or whatever?
I mean, all the time when you're a young guy and you're first trying to understand what sex is and how to do it and how to really deal with the opposite sex and what it means to be intimate.
Right.
I learned all that when in a totally screwed up state of mind.
When you were then, nine.
Well, you know, when I was in junior high school, when I started first sort of flirting with the opposite sex, I would prefer to have a couple beers or something in me too. It made me more comfortable because I was so nervous around them usually.
Right.
So ordinarily I would like to get a little liquored up too. Yeah.
We're going to take your calls too at 1-800-520-1067.
If you've never had sober sex. Yeah.
But I was saying that then that all ended in my adulthood. I was 21 years old when then I got clean, and now I pretty much had to start from zero. The first time I really tried to have sober sex, it was really very scary proposition, you know? And I already had body image problems as it is. You guys know about that.
You're a fat pig.
You're
getting fat, ugly, and disgusting.
And getting fat now again.
Yeah. You're so much more exposed emotionally when you're sober.
Of course.
So easy to, and that has really it's caused problems for me.
God damn you. Screw you.
I know.
You're a great-looking guy who's built like a brick S-house.
I know.
No. You're in amazing shape, and you're a great-looking guy.
But effed up in the head.
Oh, I don't know if women like my body.
No.
I have so many issues. Screw you.
Let me just say this. You should try it being ugly.
Yeah.
It's way harder to really be drinking
and doing drugs.
I didn't mean it that way, and I appreciate the compliment, but what I'm saying is it's more, aside from the physical part of it, just being there emotionally, being that close with someone was so much more difficult for me. Yeah, and like I said, usually most people have learned how to do that throughout their teenage years and stuff. I start all over, and it was really hard, and it's been hard since.
How many times have you had sober sex since you've been sober? Were you sober 8 years, you said?
Yeah.
You're sober 8 years. How many times have you had sober sex?
Probably like 20.
That's it?
In 8 years, you've had sex 20
times.
And then
a little over twice a year?
The previous 5-6 years before I got sober, 30,000.
Right.
You know?
Wow, you should use again.
I know.
You should really start
Sobriety
again.
Sobriety is not working out well
when
for you.
When it comes to my boner, I definitely should start.
Well, I know that our audience is probably – sometimes we go, there's plenty of our audience. This is right up their alley. I'm not sure that there are many in our audience that have never had sober sex.
Really?
In our audience?
Given how loaded our audience is most of the time.
You're right. This is perfect.
An excellent chance that they've never had sober sex.
This is perfect
because
for
they rarely do so anything sober. They've probably never gone to work sober, driven a car sober.
I saw a bunch of them in Vegas this weekend. Not a one of them was sober, I'll tell you that. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Never had sober sex. And we'll talk to you next. What, 106.7? K-Rock. It's KROQ, and it is 28 minutes after 8 o'clock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about women who have never had sober sex. A survey of 3,000 British women found that more than half prefer alcohol while they have sex, but 6% said they've never had sex while sober.
And 3% said they had never brushed their teeth. Isn't that interesting?
I didn't see that part.
British women. You know.
Yeah, true. Producer Alex is in the studio. She just came in to tell us that she's one of these women.
Where are my girls at?
She needs to drink.
Have you never had sober sex, Alex?
No, I have now, sadly. Whatever. But
good on you, James.
No. I don't know who that person is. I don't know what you're talking about. No. It's awesome, but alcohol is a great wall. It's a great defense mechanism. Because I avoided having sober sex because then I'd have to start having feelings, and then the guy would care about you, and then you might get attached to him.
Oh,
and I was like, I don't want to be attached to anybody.
It's an anti-attachment.
Yeah, I just want to.
Is
it
like a ready excuse?
Yeah.
You can say, "Well, I was drunk."
No. She mentally didn't want to get hooked to anybody, so she figured if she was drunk, she would just blow it off.
I would like them physically. I didn't want to get attached emotionally or feel like we were making love.
I've had plenty of meaningless sex sober, though.
Yeah, guys can do that a lot better than girls.
Well, it might be easier for guys. I mean, we do have that tendency to get a little attached.
Not according to our phone calls.
Yeah.
Guys could have sex with a shoe and they're fine with it. They don't have any problem with it.
Clearly.
Don't need to drink.
Mike has had sex with a wall and a sofa.
Yeah, don't even need to drink. All right. Let's go to John.
Okay.
John, good morning.
Good morning.
You've never had sober sex?
No, I have had sober sex my first time.
Your first time that
and
you
it was
had
so
sex?
Bad you had to drink every time afterwards?
Yeah, you see, there's kind of like a weird story behind it. The thing is that, well, I always grew up, I was always like kind of shy, you know, like,
yeah, we got
I was kind of like, I was a late bloomer, you know, I started talking to girls when I was like 15, 16.
Right. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And.
What happened on the first time then that told you every time from now on I must drink?
Yeah, well, the thing is this, I was with my girlfriend when I was like 17 and I was with her for like 3 months.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that. Like, it came down to it, I mean...
John, I'd love to stay for the end of the story, but we have to go home and come back tomorrow and do another show. So please get right to the point.
I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
It's okay.
Yeah. So we were going to have sex, I mean, and then we had sex, and I was sober. And
right, after, we got that.
Afterwards, it was kind of, like, awkward. I felt, like, kind of uncomfortable, and so did she, because... She started crying, and she started crying, and she started, like, slipping out, like, kind of, like, tripping.
That's what you want when you're a guy.
And you reach for the bottle.
No.
When you're a guy and you're having sex with somebody, if she starts crying, well, that's primo.
Yeah, I like when they cry during it, not afterward. Yeah. That's when I want her to cry.
Was that her first time, John?
We can't possibly ask him another question.
No follow-up question.
I need
John.
A shot of tequila after hearing
John,
that
John, you're the best. We're glad you listened, but don't. Call us and tell
John
stories
should have
anymore.
Had some drinks before he called.
Yeah.
That would have helped him.
All right, let's try Henry. Hi, Henry.
Yeah, hi. How's it going?
You know what's funny is we have mostly guys.
Yeah, I'm surprised by
which
this.
Which is kind of odd because I would think girls would need it more.
Maybe
of
they're
a,
embarrassed.
They do. I think they're
call.
Too embarrassed.
Yeah, that could be. All right.
So you're mostly altered when you have sex?
Yeah. My first
He's
time
altered
I
now.
Your first what?
My first time I wasn't.
Yeah,
I lost my virginity in the high school bathroom.
Right.
And then after that, basically, like, I used to be a stoner. So, like, girls get, like, really horny when you get high. So, you know.
So then you would get them, high, but what about you?
Oh, yeah, I'd be high.
You have to do it, too.
You'd see a lot of stamina, so, you know. And then, also, you feel, like, really good, so it just makes everything more intense. So.
Yeah. How much more intense do you need sex to be?
You know,
like,
yeah.
Howie says he used to be a stoner.
Oh, yeah. I know. Listen to calling BS on that right
I
now.
I used to smoke a lot of pot.
Don't do drugs.
I hate sex stoned. Loaded I've done with alcohol, but stoned, I get too distracted.
Yeah.
I start thinking about other things because my mind is going all over the place, and I leave the room. I'm thinking about other stuff. And
I can't do it either because then I get high and order a pizza. I'm more focused about
and
that.
And I tell him to call 911.
That's right.
That's
awful.
Lisa's
the worst thing. I need some help.
Let's go to Stephanie.
Let's go to Stephanie.
If we can. Stephanie, hi.
Hello.
Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie.
Talk
what's
about
up, lady?
Sex and sobriety.
It is insane. Okay, obviously I've never had sex prior to sobriety, being sober, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm gay on top of it, so...
Okay.
So you're a lesbian, but and you're in recovery now, but you used to only have sex drunk?
Yes.
Wow.
That's the only way I knew it.
Why did you bring up that you're lesbian? Does that play a different role? Does it make it more
It does. It does, actually. I mean, like, I've tried guys, you know, like, okay, it can't be gay, right?
Right.
You know,
so, I see.
You know, so I had a few guys in my day, but I definitely love the Poonan, so.
Who doesn't?
I think I agree. I think we're all in agreement on that one.
Okay, I don't know who doesn't like women, but I mean, but in that sense, like, the first time I had sex sober, you know, it was awkward,
yeah.
I have to admit, you know. But continually, you know, be sober for one day at a time for the rest of my life, you know, I'm going to have to get used to this.
Right. So how many times have you had sex sober?
I'm a little whore in sobriety. So you've traded
sex for one vice for another? You've traded sort of sex for your new addiction?
Exactly.
I see.
I'm definitely extremist. It's either all, you know, full bore or nothing at all.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So since you've been sober, that's how you entertain yourself is sex.
Yeah, but then I found that, you know, continuing to do these kind of things, there's pain involved, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, like, after, like, maybe the first 6 months of sobriety, I'm like, okay, I could do this, you know?
Right.
Lights on, lights off. Doesn't really matter.
The clapper.
Yeah, you
sure.
know?
I get that. That's smart. Yeah, but
wow. Okay, well, thanks for that.
Are you sober now?
You might need some more work. I'm just saying.
I'm driving to work right now, but I listen to you guys all the time, and I'm like, you know.
Finally, something they're talking about appeals to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a little like Alex in that there was a very long period of time where it was mostly when I was drunk, but you know, I really can't, I don't have the capacity to drink like that anymore. And sober sex is actually so much better for me.
Well, I think that's it. Should,
don't you think for
it
most people?
Should be,
but
yeah.
People talk about losing their inhibitions when they're drunk, but I find now that it's just much better when I'm sober.
All right, let's try Allison. Hi, Allison.
Hi, Kevin Bean. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Allison.
Hi, Alex.
Hi.
So I always have a drink when I'm with a guy. Like
always drink.
Unless it's like a like boyfriend or something like that.
Right.
But then again, I'm an ex-swinger.
You're an ex-swinger?
Yeah. So I've seen a lot of guys, and some of them I need more than one drink.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're entertaining ugly guys, of course you need a drink. It's really the only way to do it.
Or you could opt to not have sex with that person. That's always an option.
Not with Allison.
Yeah,
apparently not.
If your boyfriend or a significant other opts you in, you don't really have a choice.
But you're not supposed to take one for the team. That's one of the rules of swinging.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm too nice of a person, so.
Wow, you're a giver.
Yeah.
What's your address? I'm sorry. Time to talk to TMZ.com. And I guess everybody over there is out for Yom Kippur, except for Mike Walters, who's the news manager.
Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm the Orange County Christian that's in the office. I'm actually by myself.
Wow. Poor Mike, just working the whole...
Room is usually just packed with people, and now it's just you.
Apparently they were all Jews.
Jewish people.
Yeah, how about that? All right, let's talk about TMZ. I guess the biggest story for the weekend was Lamar Odom getting married to Khloe Kardashian.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? And the question got answered. Everyone was like, okay, this is totally fake. This is a sham. It has to be. It's real. They really got married. I mean, I was waiting for the photos to come in. I go, okay, this is all going to be BS. Ashton Kutcher is going to jump out of the bush and punk everyone. And, you know, Ryan Seacrest has got his earpiece in. It's like, red team, go.
Right.
You know, like, all the cameras. But they really got married. I mean, apparently it was an emotional ceremony. I mean, it was the whole 9 years.
How long have they been together? Because I don't even, I mean, I know there was a sighting or two, but I don't think it was...
We had Ron Artest was in our newsroom over the weekend, and I asked him that because apparently they met at his welcoming party to L.A., which was 4 weeks ago Sunday. Yeah. So exactly 1 month. But you know that they had to have decided to get married before that, and I'm told 9 days they planned this wedding in 9 days.
Okay. Now, Mike, there is a connection between the wedding and her reality show on E!, though, right?
Well, yeah, apparently E! Paid for the wedding. They flipped the bill, and the funny thing is we got Ryan Seacrest, you'll love this, coming into the wedding, and we asked him, we said, hey, you know, Ryan, this is the whole thing for the show, and we go, well, what about a show with Lamar and Khloe, and you just see him start to drool. He's just like,
yeah,
you know, you could see it in his eyes, the money signs going,
sure,
you know, but yeah, I mean, this was a whole production. There's even a great video we have where at the rehearsal dinner, and you see Khloe's mom standing there giving this, like, passionate speech, and then all of a sudden this big hairy camera guy just like stands in front of our camera, like you see the back of his bald head with a huge beta camera.
So there were cameras everywhere at the wedding, and that's because it's going to be on the Kardashian show.
Well, and that's what, so, you know what's so funny? Some people think, okay, how did this get pulled off so quickly and why did they do it? Guess what? Sweeps.
So they're ready by November.
So they said, we'll get it in there.
We'll pay for it, but it has to be on the show. So they paid $1 million. Now, what happened with the whole Lamar Odom wants a prenup, which, by the way, is really smart, but they didn't have time to hammer one out before Sunday when they had to get married.
Well, this guy just signed a 30-some-odd million-dollar contract with the Lakers, so everyone asked the question, obviously, what about the prenup? We're told that two lawyers were working on it, but like you said, there's no time. It doesn't take 4 days to hash one out. So we're told they're doing a post-nup, which is basically at the wedding you sign something that says, you know, I'm crazy, but I'm still going to do this. And, you know, then later on they take a few months or a month and hash it out. But we're told they definitely were working on it. We got Lamar walking into rehearsal dinner. He just said, hey, look, love is blind, love is love. I mean, he was serious. He said it's about respect, and people get divorced after 20 years. So he actually was really serious about it, but we're told from some other sources they are working on one.
When you have a deal for $33 million or whatever it is, you need a prenup.
Well, you
That's
know what
crazy.
Else? Get this. So
she could eat her way through that in like a week.
Yeah.
You know?
Another thing that was interesting that, you know, a lot of Lakers fans, this is L.A. and people are listening right now, want to know how the Lakers feel. And, of course, all of them showed up and the coaches. But guess who else was there? The Buss family. So this is to the very top of the organization signed off on this thing. I mean, if this was a, you know, gag, you would think that Jerry Buss wouldn't show up or Phil Jackson and Kobe. By the way, Kobe Bryant's wife was the biggest celebrity there, so you know.
Wow.
Vanessa,
yeah. She's pretty hot.
The A-lister.
Yeah.
She looked like Kim Kardashian's twin when she walked in.
Wow.
And Mike, by all accounts, Kris Jenner, who of course is the mom of the Kardashian girls, has already worked out a deal for the photos, for the wedding photos to be published?
Yeah, we're told upwards of $300,000 to OK Magazine, and we actually got this great photo of after the wedding where Lamar's standing there at the SLS Hotel in Los Angeles, and Chloe's on his back, and she's texting on her phone. But I go, wait a minute, she's not texting; she's transferring funds to the offshore account.
Yeah,
deposited.
Yeah, look, I know that Lamar Odom is he's as strong as a horse. That guy really works out and is a super strong guy. But let's keep this to a minimum with her riding on his back.
Yeah,
he's an NBA. A player, for God's sake.
He could be out for the season.
He's not married.
He was holding her train.
He didn't marry Courtney, okay? I mean, this is Chloe, so let's not have any of these piggyback rides.
It's part of his training.
The There's Lakers fans going, you know, just going out there every time they see some of this.
Yeah.
Stuff, so.
All right. Well, that's a bizarre weekend, and it seems like it happened too fast. There's a lot of loose ends to tie up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's why I'm here.
That's why you're there.
Try. Thank you, Mike. I'll appreciate the update.
All right,
TMZ.com. Thank you, sir.
You and you alone. Thank you, Mike.
Peak is the official motor oil of the IndyCar series. When you peak, you win.
Yeah.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
That is true. That has been proven by science.
Absolutely.
It's world-famous K-Rock at 8:53. Coming up just after the top of the hour, we are going to talk about Zombieland, a movie I've been looking forward to for so long, ever since I heard it, saw the trailer.
I saw the movie last week, Kevin, and I cannot think of a film this year that you personally will enjoy more than this.
It looks so me.
For some reasons we can talk about and some that we can't.
All right. That's okay. We'll get into it just after the top of the hour. Right now it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Speaking of movies, it is a Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, still number one.
That was the other one I was looking forward to so
much. Oh, yeah. Well, I know how you love giant pieces of pizza flying from the sky.
They fall from the sky.
This was a hugely popular kids' book, and now it has become a wildly successful motion picture. $24.6 million made it number one again this week. Surrogates was number two. Bruce Willis thriller made $15 million. Fame, reboot, of course, of the famous movie and TV show of the same name about kids at a performing arts high school, made $10 million in its debut. The Informant was fourth. Tyler Perry's I Can Do Bad All By Myself was fifth. Pandorum, which I'm surprised debuted as well as it did with $4.4 million, given the fact that they didn't really promote it all that
not
well.
Much.
And you have no idea what the hell it's about as you watch those trailers.
Yeah.
Love Happens was seventh. Jennifer's Body was eighth. Nine was ninth. Inglourious Basterds rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Remember when we were in New York for the MTV VMAs?
Yeah, a week and a half ago or so.
About a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
Lisa and I...
Wait, the MTV Awards that we didn't go to?
That's
yeah,
right.
Those.
Yeah, okay.
We watched them on television in New York.
But go ahead.
Lisa and I, while we were in New York, happened to catch the brand new play starring Hugh Jackman and Daniel Craig.
Right.
It is a two-man performance where they play Chicago police talking about one particular summer that changes their lives.
It's called Brokeback Police?
Nope.
No.
It's called A Steady Rain.
Okay.
And it is an intense play. It runs about 90 minutes, no intermission. And it's just the two of them on stage addressing the audience, telling this story, and then acting out parts of the story.
Okay.
But it's a very intimate, very intense, very focused production. And I remember thinking as I got into the theater and I sat down, I am going to make sure to turn off my cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is a very quiet, intimate piece, and that would be the worst possible thing I could imagine doing. Mm-hmm. Is my cell phone going off during that production. Not to mention, I think Daniel Craig would leap off the stage and personally throttle me.
And by the way, rightly so.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he seems like a very scary, intense dude to me.
Yeah.
Well,
you know for a fact that you're one of the only people that did that.
Yeah. And it turns out that this weekend, during one performance, an audience member's phone kept ringing and then would not answer it. And it kept ringing and ringing and ringing. And so Craig and Jackman, in character, had to address it, and did.
In character.
Now, this audio is from TMZ.com. It's not great audio, but if you listen, you'll hear the ring in the background, and you'll hear Jackman, who is in the middle of telling the story as a Chicago cop, having to deal with the person in the audience, but he stays in character while he's kind of telling them off.
Wow.
all the time. He's patient. You want to get that? You want to get it? Grab it. I don't care. Grab it. Grab your phone. It doesn't matter. Come on, just turn it off. Come on.
That's
enough.
Unless
you got a better story, you want to get on 30 stories.
Yeah, so he goes after that person, getting wild applause from the audience.
Should have.
But it's a nightmare.
Ugh.
It's the worst thing.
Yeah, it really is.
I was at the...
It happens all the time.
That weekend, I was at the Muse show on that Sunday night, Muse, in a little place. And they said, cell phones are interrupting all of our electronic signals, blah, blah, blah. Please turn them off. And I was sitting near the top, and I could see every other person had their cell phone or BlackBerry out. And none of the... She was begging from them, saying, please turn them off, please turn them off, please turn them off. We have to turn them off.
No one was turning them
off. Not one person. Nope. They were all still talking and texting and everything else. It's like they weren't even saying anything.
Movie news. You familiar with A Star is Born?
Yes. Barbra Streisand.
It was a Barbra Streisand movie years ago, but it was made twice before that version.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. It's been one of those stories that's been remade and remade and remade, so naturally, as you can imagine, in the world of remakes.
They're going to do it again.
Warner Brothers has just announced they've hired a writer to do the fourth version of A Star is Born.
Now, these aren't sequels, though. This is all the same one again.
A remake of the same story over and over again. Basically, the premise is an older, established star, it was an actor in the first couple versions, meets a younger, up-and-coming female star. He takes her under his wing, and then their careers go in opposite directions. She becomes a superstar, and his career fades, and he loses his S and starts cocktailing, and they have a falling out.
And her nose keeps getting bigger and bigger.
That was in the third version.
Third version. Right.
But apparently Beyonce is being talked to for the lead in the new version. She will play the young up-and-comer. No word yet on who will play the older star who starts a relationship with her and then realizes she's outgrowing his
fame.
Pretty strong.
Eclipsing him.
Once they realized it was Beyonce, the guys from all over the world are going, I'd like to play that part. Consider me.
She's actually a pretty good actress.
Don't care.
She does a good job. Karen doesn't care.
Okay.
She's way hot.
She just wants to put a ring on it.
Yes.
Or whatever she talks about.
I like it. Sure.
Yeah. And sad news, Tawny Kitaen, who we had in here on our show when she was on Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew.
Yep.
Supposedly he's been sober since December 2006, was popped for driving under the influence in Newport Beach, California last Saturday afternoon. Shortly released thereafter on $2,500 bail. But the real sad news is apparently that she's drinking again, so I'm sure Dr. Drew will step in and save the day.
I got to tell you, the alcoholism is something that seems impossible to beat because, A, it's legal. And
yeah.
B,
everywhere.
It's all social situations.
You really have to change your lifestyle so much.
Yeah, that's tough. It's like having to give up food or something, you know.
Yeah,
you
got to
drink, right?
Well, Kevin.
You have to drink.
Mike says you don't.
You have to drink to stay alive.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's tough. I have to take other supplements to make up for, you know, the deficiency in alcohol. You literally can't live.
You have to eat raw hops and barley and stuff just to get your daily recommended allowance. Dr. Drew, by the way... Not only in the midst of this story again, but I was reading over the weekend that he was well aware of Mackenzie Phillips' affair with her father, John Phillips.
Really?
Because apparently Mackenzie now is in celebrity rehab, and he was in the middle of that story, too.
Wow.
So if there's an effed up celebrity somewhere, usually it's Dr. Drew causing it.
I don't think he causes it.
He causes it. No, look, he's always surrounded by people who have problems.
Right.
There's no coincidence there, people.
He runs
if you
rehab.
Hang out with Dr. Drew, you will start using drugs, alcohol, and sleeping with your parents.
Yeah.
I firmly believe it.
I don't think that's true.
That's why I stay away from him.
All right.
That's why Psycho Mike was doing Loveline. You know?
Oh, I know.
Now look at him. Now look at him.
I know.
It's a mess.
He's been touched.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we?
Last week.
Hilary Duff's 22 years old. Bam Margera. From Jackass is 30 years old. Young Jeezy's 32. Naomi Watts celebrates her 41st birthday. Have you seen that DirecTV commercial?
Mm-mm.
I don't
with
think
her,
so.
It's, you know, they take famous scenes from movies.
Right.
And then they edit in new footage.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that.
Of the celebrities talking about the DirecTV packages, and it's her in the hand of King Kong.
Ah.
And he's fighting off the planes, and she said, you know, if he would get DirecTV, he'd be a little less obsessed with me. He wouldn't have to watch me all the time. He could watch television.
That's creative.
That's very clever. Mira Sorvino's 42 years old today, and actress, comedian, Janine Garofalo is 45. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Time to talk about one of the movies that I'm so looking forward to, Zombieland. We have the executive producer and screenwriter. We have Paul Wernick and Rhett Reese in the studio with us. Welcome, guys.
Thank you so much.
I am lucky enough to have seen this film. I saw it last week at one of the screenings, and it is... Maybe the best time I've had at the movies this year.
Ooh. Come on, though. Hangover?
Hangover was
funny.
Yes.
But this is funny plus scary plus...
Plus zombies.
Plus zombies.
Yeah, that does,
and a lot of gunplay. And, you know, Hangover was missing the gunplay for me. So yeah. I get it all here.
All right.
I am a little biased, of course, because both Paul and Rhett, besides being excellent writers, were the creators of a show called The Joe Schmo Show a few years ago that appeared on Spike TV.
I watched that, but the host was a tool.
How dare you?
I was not happy with that.
And the guys were kind enough to cast me as the host of that show, and we had a lot of success with that. And then the Joe Schmo 2 we did after that, we had a lot of fun. And this is your first foray into motion pictures, guys? This is your first movie, right?
Yeah, well, together it is. Yeah, I used to write children's stuff.
That's right. You wrote for Pixar, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But together, this is our we were virgins until now.
How do you decide on zombies? You just both always love the idea of that?
Well, you know, everybody's always bemoaning the post-apocalypse, talking about how horrible it's going to be, and we just had this alternate vision of it actually being kind of a good time, if that makes sense.
For those who are left.
Yeah, for those who are left. I mean, think about it. You've got all the things that used to annoy you are no longer in existence.
Traffic,
you know,
crowds.
AT&T, you know, or
Facebook status updates.
Sure.
Yeah, mafia wars on Facebook. Sure. No more.
None of that.
And plus, when you meet the girl, like, she can't use the boyfriend excuse anymore.
That's true.
He's not around.
I've never thought about all these positives.
It's the ultimate wish fulfillment movie.
Except for when you go to the bathroom in a bathroom stall and then they're crawling underneath. I don't want that.
Yeah,
that's one thing I don't want.
The premise is kind of great, where you get to go into any store you want to and just take whatever you want. You don't have to worry about paying for it. There's a scene in the film where they play Monopoly, but they use real cash because cash is kind of worthless now. It's sort of pointless. And it is Woody Harrelson, who is the kick-ass ultimate zombie hunter. He's got that down. And then Jesse Eisenberg plays sort of the young man he meets on the road, and they sort of team up together for various reasons to kind of go zombie hunting. And then they meet Emma Stone, who is just adorable in this movie.
Oh, she's fantastic.
If you saw The Rocker, she was the girl in the band in The Rocker with Rainn Wilson.
Right.
That real talented actor. And then Abigail Breslin, who you know from Little Miss Sunshine, of course, is also along for the ride. And it is just so much fun.
This seems like a genre that is really, you know, it has potholes everywhere with people who try to make it kind of scary but kind of funny at the same time. And so many people fail miserably on one or the other side. They try to make it funny, it's not funny, or they try to make it scary, it's not scary. So it looks like you walk that line really well, like it's a laugh fest, but about zombies and scary situations.
Yeah, we tried to focus on the comedy first and make sure we got that. And then if we got some scares on the side, well, that was just gravy.
That's a good plan, because that seems like that's where so many of these fail. I love movies like this. A lot of times you just go, okay.
For the struggling screenwriters out there, what was the process? What was the history of the script? How did it get from when you guys came up with the idea all the way through to being hitting the screens?
Well, it started as a failed TV pilot in summer of 2005.
You originally wrote it for TV?
We did. We sold it to CBS.
Huh.
And so you made the full pilot.
We didn't get that far. They turned it down.
But they bought it.
They did buy it, and then they turned it down.
That seems like bad business.
Yeah. We'd like it. No, thank you. That's odd.
Okay. They were going to go the Murder, She Wrote angle with it, and so we had to, we had to back away from them. No. And then, you know, we're not ones to hear no. You know, we don't like to hear no, so we kept after it. We did the same thing with the Joe Schmo Show back in the day. You know, we pitched that all over town and heard no a million times. And
for almost
us,
a year.
Yeah, for almost a year. To us, until someone says no, we're not fired up enough to do it. You know?
Yeah, sure. If they would have said yes, you would have lost interest.
It's the ultimate litmus test. If people say no, we know it's a good idea.
You're on the right track.
Now, while that's true of you guys, there are a lot of people out there who should quit.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And the studios don't say a no to enough people either, by the way. They say yes to a lot of people who have crap.
Yeah, the bad movies are inspiring because they make you feel like, well, geez, we belong.
I can do that.
Okay, so you got told no, and then where do you go next? Do you keep trying to work it into TV?
Well, Sony Television actually paid us to expand it into a made-for-TV movie, which we did.
Okay.
And then it was so expensive and good that our producer, Gavin Pallone, decided to take it over to the feature division and convince them to make it into a movie.
Wow.
That's terrific.
That never happens, by the
way. Yeah, I mean, you would think
the lottery.
Because it seems like there are how many shows fail every year? New shows, pilots that get bought, that get put on the air, and almost all of them fail every single time.
I couldn't help but notice as I was watching the movie that there were just hundreds and hundreds of zombies in this movie. Just a lot of zombies.
Yeah,
maybe thousands.
Yeah,
you must have used an enormous amount of actors in the film for those roles. And I was thinking, Well, I know these guys. We've worked together before, and yet
you
my phone was mysteriously quiet when apparently the casting was going on because, what, you couldn't slap some makeup on me and put me out there and have my head blown off? That couldn't happen?
You wouldn't have wanted to be a zombie, Ralph. It was a absolutely miserable experience.
You guys
there.
Dressed me in a bee suit once. You think I had problems putting on some zombie makeup and getting shot at by Woody Harrelson?
I think he's got a point.
You had me wear kimonos, fake teeth, a British accent, bleached my hair until it was falling out. You think I would have problems with being a zombie?
Falcons landed
giant
on
falcon
him.
Landing on his head.
I'm good enough for television, but not for the big screen. Is that what you're saying, boys?
Yes, is the answer to that.
What we would say to that is we've worked with a lot of wonderful actors on this movie. None any better than you. Yeah, you are awesome. And why we didn't look the zombies? The people who are dressed as zombies on set started to get treated like second class citizens. It sucked. Like no one wanted to eat with you. It's like imagine eating next to someone whose eyeballs falling out. Like it was awful.
Yeah. The zombie ghetto where they had to stay away from everywhere else.
Were there any non-zombie actors in this movie?
Yes.
Yeah. Four, and then
we've got a celebrity cameo.
Why don't we take a break and we'll talk about that. Right. We can't really address it specifically, but it is an interesting part of the film, and I think it's an interesting story behind it.
Fantastic. It's called Zombieland. It comes out Friday, October 9th, which is a week from Friday. Is that correct?
October 2nd, actually.
October 2nd, which is this Friday.
That's very different
from the 9th.
I want to make sure people know it's this Friday.
It's much better. Thank you. All right, we'll take a quick break and come right back.
I'm not easy to get along with. And I'm sensing you're a bit of a wuss.
Bummer.
We got taken hostage by a 12-year-old.
Little girls mature way faster than boys.
My mother always told me, someday you'll be good at something. I don't think she could have guessed that something would be zombie killer.
Zombieland.
Come on.
It's so awesome.
Yeah.
And Woody is good at zombie killing.
Is he?
That's for sure. The first time I heard about the movie, guys, even before I even knew you guys were working on it, I guess it was TMZ who had footage of Woody Harrelson coming out of LAX, and he went off on one of the cameramen. It was a big brouhaha, and then the next day he said, I've been working on a movie about zombies, and I was just in that zone, and I thought a zombie was attacking me at the airport.
There's actually a really funny story about that. Can you guess whose idea was that? It wasn't Woody's idea. It was actually...
Publicist?
Rhea Perlman.
Go ahead.
Paul McCartney.
What?
Paul McCartney, the former Beatle Paul McCartney?
McCartney and Woody Harrelson are our best buds, and they went out to dinner the night
after
that
happened.
Emphasis on
the bud.
Yeah.
So they went out to dinner that night?
After he destroyed the camera? Yes. And Paul McCartney said, oh, you got to use the zombie defense. You got to do the zombie defense. And
Paul McCartney does not strike me as a prankster type of guy. Tell him it was zombies.
Who knew? Yeah.
Yeah.
Great, though. And then apparently the next morning, Woody hadn't done it yet, and Paul called him two more times, leaving messages on his machine saying, have you done the zombie defense? Did you say? And Woody's, okay, I'll do it.
You have to tell him it was zombies, Woody. That'd be great. That's what I told Ringo. My zombie was drumming on salt and pepper.
And then he did, zombies, and I apparently. Thought that was pretty funny. Like, I don't think anyone bought it seriously.
Of course, yeah, we all thought he was insane.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was clever.
I didn't know if it was supposed to be funny or he was insane. I couldn't tell exactly which one, but it was pretty smart.
The kind of press we got off that, I think Sony should pay his legal bills, don't you think?
No kidding.
That was pretty creative. Now, tell us about filming the movie with the, you were going to say something about the...
There is a celebrity cameo in the film.
Okay.
That I don't want to talk about because it's such a great moment in the film when you find out who it is and what happens in that part of the film. It would be a real disservice to people who are going to enjoy this film to talk about it.
Mm. Okay.
But I was wondering, I wanted to ask you guys, did you have that particular celebrity in mind when you wrote the film, when you came up with it?
We actually had a long list of celebrities that we went through before we reached our actual celebrity cameo.
Because the premise is that, I mean, America has been decimated by zombieism, right?
Right.
Mad cow disease, people have been eating mad cow meat and it goes to their brain and they become mad people.
I like it.
And they become zombies.
Right.
So there's very few regular people left. And in the film, they run across, there's kind of a road picture where they're going across the country and they head to Los Angeles and they interact with a celebrity when they get to LA.
Ah.
So I was wondering, you guys had someone else in mind initially?
Carrot Top?
It started with Patrick Swayze, actually, about 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And we went through a long list trying to attract any number of actors, including The Rock and Joe Pesci and Mark Hamill and Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Sylvester Stallone.
They didn't want to do it?
Matthew McConaughey. Everyone said no. This is the story of our life. That's
you got turned down by Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Wow, he turns it down.
JCVD.
You might want to pack it in.
Really? I mean, that's got to hurt.
But,
you guys
yeah.
go to Shatner? You got a long relationship with Shatner? You guys did the reality show with him, Invasion Iowa.
Yeah, I know. We decided not to go to Shatner, but we ultimately got someone who's better than all of those guys combined.
Yeah, they really is.
Gary Coleman?
Yeah. You can't guess, Kevin. Even you can't.
Hasselhoff.
It's so frustrating because it's like being able to sleep with the supermodel under the one condition that you can't speak of it.
Yeah.
That's
how
we're feeling. I'll sleep with you, but you can't tell anybody you slept with
but
me.
But that's the agreement that you go into before you sleep with them, and then you go to your friends and go, you'll never believe, but I can't say.
Yeah, so when you see the movie and you find out who it is, we hung out with him.
That's pretty exciting.
Wow. Him, it's a him.
Oh, good, good. Hootie of the Blowfish.
Yes?
Yes, Kevin, all it's right. Hootie.
Because he's of the Blowfish.
I don't know. They finally landed Hootie after all
Look,
that hard work.
They got
work.
Turned down by JVCD or whatever.
JCVD. Darius Rucker.
WWJDVCD.
I think the reason he turned us down, actually, he sent an email and said he was shooting Universal Soldier 3.
Well, sure. You don't want to get in the way of that. But I'll tell you, the person who ends up doing it is as best as he's been in many, many years.
Really? Yeah. Wow.
So it's a little extra bonus.
Well, that'll be exciting.
To go see Zombieland. Absolutely. Before I let you go, guys, as I mentioned, we did the Joe Schmo show together. And for those people who don't know, it's available on DVD. It was a show that was sort of a spoof on reality television. It was the first of its kind, really, where it was a spoof on reality television. We brought in an unsuspecting person who thought he was really going to do a Big Brother, Survivor-esque kind of reality show. But around him were all actors who were following a scripted storyline that was being played out around this guy, right? So it was a very funny idea, and it was well-received. Now, E! Is doing this thing, Reality Hell, it's called, this series, where they're claiming, like, ooh, look at us, we're doing fake reality shows, and we're punking people, and they don't know what's coming. Isn't there a lawsuit in the works?
Oh,
it's the Wild West out there on reality TV. You know, we watch it, and
they can claim
have
anything.
Have you seen it?
I have not seen it, but when I saw the commercials for it, I was like, I wonder if the guys know about this. This doesn't seem quite fair.
Is their catchphrase, the Falcon has spoken?
Yeah, right. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, you're dead to me. Do they mention that at all? Have you guys seen any of that?
We haven't seen it. It's very frustrating, but we have not seen it. We're not going to.
Well, get your lawyers on it because there's got to be some money involved.
That's right. There's got to be a lawsuit involved there.
Ridiculous.
You know, we did a phone topic. I don't know. How many years ago was it, Ralph? Maybe 5-6 years ago? Where we had people call in who had real life escape routes for the zombies when they
yep. Oh yeah, zombies.
And
next.
They were serious about it. And everyone was like, yeah, we're going to meet at the park, and then we're going to go to the Ralphs, and then we're going to head out of town. And they seriously had a plan.
There is a mystique about zombies, I think. Unlike even vampires or werewolves or any other kind of monster, the people it really touches a chord with people.
It's
when
sort
you
of like it
thing.
Could happen. Probably not, but it could.
It will.
I agree.
You've seen the Mayan calendar, right?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. 2012. That's right.
So they warned us.
That's right.
I didn't know they were talking about zombies, but okay, fantastic. Well, this movie looks great.
It is great. I'll tell you. I would if I didn't like it, I would be polite. Because you guys, like you guys, I wouldn't say it was
Although,
crap.
Although they didn't give you work.
They didn't really. So really, I don't know them crap anymore.
All right, there
really.
You go.
No, but I genuinely, all friendships aside, I loved this movie. I just had a blast. And I just wish you guys the best. But I hope a lot of people go to see it this weekend.
Thank you so much.
I will be one. Thank you guys.
Friday.
It's this Friday's Zombieland. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show, and we have free stuff for you.
I do. I've got a pair of passes. More than that, I've got 5 pairs of passes. To give away to the advanced screening of Universal Pictures' new movie, Couples Retreat. Have you seen the commercials
for
this?
Yes.
John Favreau, Vince Vaughn.
Looks awesome.
Jason Bateman, Malin Ackerman, who's just smoking hot. Yeah. This looks hilarious. It's in theaters on October the 9th. However, we're having a special screening. If you'd like to see it before anybody else, call right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. If you're one of the first 5 people to get through at that number, we're going to give you a pair of passes, and you can check out Couples Retreat, thanks to Universal and those of us here at K-Rock. All right, it is 9:42 in the world-famous K-Rock.
It is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
It's Monday morning, so we're going to take a look at the hot movies at the box office. A lot of movie talk. going on this today, but it's nice when we have movies to talk about. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, number one at the box office this weekend. $24.6 million made it the number one movie for 2 weeks in
balls.
A row. Yeah, it's all about balls. Surrogates was number two. I can't get a take on that Surrogates thing. I like Bruce Willis a lot.
I have not heard good stuff. I'll just say
it
that.
It looks good to me.
It's got robots and things. That's usually cool.
It looks good.
Maybe I'll go.
I haven't seen it yet, though.
Fame.
Yeah, no
Jazz
interest.
Hands. Jazz hands.
Zero interest.
Come on, Kevin.
Zero.
Doesn't that take you back to your days when you were doing a lot of musicals?
Those were not good days, man.
You were dancing ballet and singing opera and stuff.
That was a tough fight for me to get into Broadway.
Informant was number four.
Till Stomp.
Yeah, I remember Stomp. That was your
I
big break.
I could stomp like a mofo.
Tyler's Perry, I Can Do Battle by Myself was fifth. Pandorum was sixth. Love Happens was seventh. Jennifer's Body, eighth. Nine was ninth. And Inglourious Basterds was 10 at the box office this weekend. You know, Kevin, I was thinking you over the weekend. I was in Vegas and I went to a wedding. And some of the people that I went with wanted to go see Love, the Cirque du Soleil Love Beatles show.
Ah,
and I'd never seen it, so I went along, and I was watching it, and I really enjoyed it. But in the back of my head, I kept thinking, wow, would Kevin hate this?
Yeah, I would not have.
Because it's a lot of interpretive dance and acrobatics and all Beatles music and stuff.
They don't do any songs that aren't Beatles?
No, sir. Yeah. No, it's all Beatles.
No, I'm out.
I can't imagine it'd be your cup of tea.
I can't do that.
However, I think you would be able to sleep through it, because I've seen you sleep through a lot of theatrical performances.
When I drink a lot and stay up late, if it's cold and dark, I'm asleep.
Got that going for you. Khloe Kardashian and Lamar Odom are now man and wife. She's now Khloe Odom. Khloe Odom. She's a yodel.
Alex always gets mad at us for mocking Khloe.
Come on.
Because she said, oh, she's not that bad.
They always said, no, she's average size.
But hang on. But
why?
The problem is that her sisters are Kim and Courtney. That's the problem. So there's always an A-B comparison. If she was an only child, we wouldn't care all that much.
She still wouldn't be great if she was an only child. That's my defense.
I agree.
Even if she's walking the street by herself, not surrounded by smoking hot sisters, she's still a Yeti.
But every woman seems to defend her. Why do they draw the line in the sand with Khloe?
Because more women look like Khloe than they do Kim and Courtney.
But Lisa, who's beautiful and svelte, has no correlation to...
But Lisa is also like... 7 feet tall, 200 pounds. Look at her. She's not that big at all. That's right. She's tiny.
She's pretty
slim.
Small.
Yeah. I don't know why.
I'm just saying, when you compare them with the other two.
It's rough. It's really rough for her to be her.
Yeah.
But she's still her.
She is.
That's what I'm saying.
She is a Yeti. There's no getting around that.
And yet, compared to Lamar Odom, she looks.
That's true.
Regular size.
I think she.
Maybe she married a bigger guy just so she didn't look so big. That's probably the truth.
You always want a guy that makes you feel small and petite.
Sure.
She was.
How many of those are there for her?
She proposed to Vladimir Klitschko, but apparently he was already married, so that wasn't an option. Then she went to Vitaly Klitschko, also not an option, but Lamar finally said yes, so she got that going for her. Anyway, it happened in Beverly Hills. 250 guests, including producer of their reality show, Ryan Seacrest, happened to be in attendance.
Well, what a surprise. And they were filming it for that TV show?
Oh, wait a minute. Yes, they were.
Oh, how about that?
Lamar's Laker teammates, of course, Kobe Bryant and others were there. Chelsea Handler. Oh, thank God. Lara Spencer. Lara? Brittany Gastineau, Lala Vasquez. You know, all the A-listers.
Sure.
Bruce Jenner was there.
Really? What a surprise. How did they get him? Can't tell?
Yeah. It looked a lot like Bruce Jenner, so we think it wasn't him.
Yeah.
That's how you can tell. Bruce Jenner.
He doesn't look anything
right.
like
Bruce Jenner. If you see a guy who doesn't look like Bruce Jenner, that's probably him.
Yeah. I hate to pull a bean, but isn't Lala the one that's married or dating Carmelo Anthony? And was he able to come to that wedding, being that it was a Laker event?
That's a great question, and none of us know the answer.
No idea.
That is just a brick wall of a question. That is just a speed bump.
Apparently he's married to her. That's what I'm being told.
Lala's married to?
Apparently.
Okay.
Mello.
But isn't she a...
A VJ.
A TV personality in her own right.
I don't know if she does that anymore.
Yeah, she is. Okay. I was just curious. I mean, I don't know if Carmelo Anthony would be welcome there.
I'm curious about why we're still talking about this story.
Right off the track, sir.
Okay.
That was rough. Jude Law has a new baby, or does he?
What?
Apparently, Jude is now asking for a DNA test to prove that he's the baby daddy of Samantha Burke, former Hooters girl from Florida.
Well, it's never a bad idea to double check.
He said from his inside sources close to him say that until he is positive that he is connected to the baby, he is going to hold off on any visitation and giving her any money until he knows for sure, what's going on there.
I can see that. But it's also one of those things where if it comes back that he's not the father, good on him. But if it comes back that he is the father, then he's just kind of the a-hole that asked for a DNA test.
But well, they weren't a couple.
You know what I mean? They weren't, yeah, they weren't a couple. So I think it is the onus does fall on him to kind of make sure that what's what.
Yeah, I can see that.
But I find it insulting that he would dare to question the morality of a Hooters girl from Florida to think that she may have had sex with someone else other than him.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And may have been knocked up by another guy. How dare he besmirch her reputation like that? A Hooters girl from Florida. You just don't do that.
Hey,
it's not
Jude.
Done. Hey, Jude.
Lisa! Come on.
Lisa with the Beatles callback.
It's my first one ever.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think we could even put that in the file. That was pretty good.
Thank you.
Came with gusto.
Put it in the file anyway.
And we were talking about the Beatles earlier.
You can deny it.
All right. Yeah. All right.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Actress Hilary Duff is 22 years old today. Bam Margera from Jackass is 30 years old. Bam, hey, how do you plan on celebrating your birthday? Do you have any special plans?
I plan to fly a kite with anal beads.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
That's a good plan.
Yeah. Wasn't Bam the one they just hospitalized for just being so freaking drunk he couldn't function?
Pretty much,
although
yeah.
Although it was exhaustion and dehydration, though, right?
Wasn't he walked to the ambulance, they said, but then he was in trouble.
Young Jeezy's 32 years old. Naomi Watts, very talented actress, is 41. Mira Sorvino, who has won an Oscar, turns 42. And Janine Garofalo, comedian and actress, is 45. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. By the way, congratulations, Trent Acosta, who is going to be joining us. He's this hour's winner of Super Tuesday. Tomorrow morning, we're going to be broadcasting live.
I think it's Ann Trent Acosta?
Oh, I didn't even see Ann. I just saw Trent.
Trent Acosta is a different guy. Ann Trent Acosta, I think, is the winner.
That's a bogus name.
It's a woman.
I should not be expected to be able to say that name, so I'm fine with it. Tomorrow, we are going to be doing Super Tuesday Triple Play. We're going to do the morning show, the Kevin and Bean Show, live in Hollywood with Paramore at the Troubadour.
Oh, wow.
Paramore.
Then,
orange sweater.
Because they've got a new CD coming out tomorrow. Alice in Chains has a new CD coming out tomorrow, so they're going to be playing the Whiskey. And then AFI is going to be playing the Roxy.
So it's going to be all over the place.
Yes, so
Kevin's going to be at the wrong place every time.
We'll play a game of Find Kevin tomorrow.
So that's tomorrow at Super Tuesday. Your chance to win tickets is also coming up. And Kat is next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock.